Attention broadcasters in the greater Portland area. Your daily show prep begins now.
As the 21st century began, human evolution was at a turning point. Natural selection, the process by which the strongest, the smartest, the fastest reproduced in greater numbers than the rest, a process which had once favored the noblest traits of man, now began to favor different traits. Most science fiction of the day predicted a future that was more civilized and more intelligent. But as time went on, things seemed to be heading in the opposite direction, a dumbing down. How did this happen? Evolution does not necessarily reward intelligence. With no natural predators to thin the herd, it began to simply reward those who reproduced the most and left the intelligent to become an endangered species. And so it went for generations, although few, if any, seemed to notice.
Funny because it's true, Don. It is 19 minutes after the hour of one, and this the month of September in the year of our Lord 2010. Thank you for coming along and making a part of your listening day. We are live from the plushly appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios of the Emerson News Network, the home of qualities and amusements since 1908. Thank you for joining us. It is Friday, September 17th, 2010. As we begin the program today, if you'd like to engage with us telephonically, you can do that. It's 503-505-6964. 503-505-6964. 503-505-6964. With your comments, questions, clarifications, ruminations, ponderings, musings of an ironic nature. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. Don Taylor can be reached at Don, D-A-W-N, at rickemerson.com. And I think the, is the text box up, running, happening?
It is indeed.
A buzz with human life and activity?
They're all a flutter in the text box.
Fantastic. The bright, shining faces of humanity yearning to be entertained. And we shall provide that entertainment because it's what we do. Also because we have no other skills of any kind and nowhere else to be.
Yeah.
It's 503-505-6964. Coming up today, Corpse Watch, Clergy Watch, Stupid Criminal of the Week. We've got a, let's see, we've got Corpse Watch, Clergy Watch, Stupid Criminal of the Week. Our good friend Dan Clark is going to be here to talk about Pirate, is it Pirate Fest or Pirate Festival?
I think it's the Portland Pirate Festival is what it's called.
All right, the Portland Pirate Festival. So that's coming up later on in the show. Dan Clark will be here to talk about that. Here's the thing that what Dan doesn't know is the secret word is clown porn, which is really two words, but for our purposes here and for the purposes of satire just there, we're going to pretend that it's all one word. He didn't really know he's going to get to watch that with us, and I do mean get, and I do mean have to, and I do mean whether or not he wants to.
Now, did you prep the clown porn in any way, or are we just going to...
Did I pop the clown porn?
Prep.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
Did you prepare anything of the clown porn, or are we just going to pop it into the DVD player and just fly blind, as it were?
How do you mean prepare? Do you mean like to grease it up in some
way?
Well,
no, you had talked about...
Like previewing it?
Previewing it a bit so you knew what we were getting into.
You know, no, I didn't. Yeah. And I could claim that it's because I had some sort of that I had some sort of moral aversion, to viewing it, and then having to feign my sort of shock or surprise later. Or I could say that it's because I just didn't feel right viewing it, viewing it without you, Dom, because I felt it should be a shared experience. But really, here's the thing:
has our relationship really come to that?
It really has. Here's the thing: is that when I got home last night, I think my brain, in some sort of I don't know, some sort of self-preservation instinct, it just blocked out the fact that clown porn was even there. There are certain things, I think I've just developed this ability.
Don't think about the clown porn, just don't think about it.
It's like they say about, I think it was Richard Dawkins who had the, he postulated that man developed a belief in God. Because it was the only way that man could then forget about his own mortality, because otherwise you would just sit around your cave with a crippling knowledge of your own impending death and never get anything done. So basically you would just sit around and go, oh God, I'm going to die someday, I'm getting older. Are those crow's feet? Lord! And you would just, you would become, because humans are one of the only creatures, they say, that are truly aware at birth. I guess maybe this
not really at birth. So
not really at birth, but I mean, but as soon as you understand the nature of life, you understand death. And so while other animals do get a sense, they think later on in their life when death is looming, or, you know, animals know when they're reaching the end of their existence, they say that man is probably the only creature that sort of has a knowledge of death. And so we couldn't think about it, so we developed this sort of survival mechanism of just blocking it out. It's a long way of saying that when I get off the air sometimes, my brain will just completely go, and it just shuts hermetically, and all of the things associated with the next day's show or the show I just did, they're either just flushed away for all the time and eternity, or they're just sealed up until, like, you know, 1:10 the next day. So I get out of here, and man, clown porn schmown schmorn. I didn't remember anything about it until I walked back in this morning. I'm like, aha, clown porn. So no, I didn't view it.
All right.
But really, what am I going to be previewing? Am I waiting for the, you know...
I don't know. I thought that it would be best if we just
no, I want us to experience it fresh.
But
no.
You were going, I'm going to take it home, and I'm going to get us some screenshots, and then we'll just look at the screen, and I'm just like,
No.
Yeah,
I'm,
okay, if you want to do that kind of work on the clown porn.
No, I figured I'll just put it in, and we'll just let it roll. Maybe we'll just have it going in the background. You know, we'll just have it sort
while
of...
Dan is, just we'll just have it going when Dan comes in and not say anything about it.
We should do this. We should have the clown porn going, and then we should pretend that we don't even really notice it. Like, we, in fact, have forgotten it's there. And then if he mentions it later, we can just sort of seem nonplussed by the whole thing. We can just be, seem
what?
Sort of, you know...
Oh, does that bother you?
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought that's what you were into. whatever. I can turn around, Mr. Prudy Man. Mr.
Peter Carlin never complained about the clown porn.
Don't let society constrict your fun by taking away the joy of clown porn, Dan Clark. So I've got that sitting in my bag, which is where I went yesterday before Anna Griffin from the Oregonian got here, because she really is... I mean, when I said yesterday to Anna, I said she was one of the smartest people I know. It's really true. And also, she's just, like, really normal and grown up. I mean, she, yeah. It's not that she's without a sense of fun. She's certainly not.
And then she pulls out these Twin Peaks references out of nowhere.
Yeah, but I mean...
So there is a little bit something freaky going on there.
But it is like in a mature, sort of responsible kind of way. Like way more so. And I don't know if that's
she
like...
She seems so grounded and not crazy.
I don't know if that's like being a mom or something, but that's clearly not true, because I've known any number of moms who ought to just have their children taken away and just to be tased relentlessly. Yeah. So, all right. Well, in any event, Corpse Watch coming up today. Clergy Watch, Stupid Criminal of the Week. Dan Clark's going to be here to talk about Pirate Festival 2010. We have a musical request that we may or may not get to. This is not like this. So we had the Blood Rock thing yesterday, which I played at the end of the show, because we had listener Krill, I think his name was. Except Krill is a type of, like, brine shrimp, so I don't really know that that's...
Right.
I swear to God, his name was Krill. All right, well, whatever.
Sounds like sort of a space alien name.
No, you're thinking of Kiff. Or Krull, possibly.
Possibly.
So, Krull, get my robe! Roar! Sorry. Anywho, so we have another musical request. We had the Blood Rock yesterday, and somebody has asked for a tune from the Rick Emerson musical catalog. So we'll try to get to that later on in the program. Plus, Dawn Taylor is tracking the following stories for you on this Friday.
Stephen Colbert and Jon Stewart will be holding Washington, D.C. rallies. Ex-Kiss drummer Peter Criss is raising money for cancer research.
Is this why you said we needed a Kiss watch?
Yes.
All right.
And ladies, Morgan Freeman is single.
Yes, all right. Although if you're not related to him, apparently you're probably off the dating menu.
Really?
Isn't that why you're talking about this? Because he was dating his...
No, I'm just saying...
You know about that whole thing with him and his, like, step-granddaughter?
He's getting divorced. No.
Why do you think he's getting divorced?
How people get divorced all the time?
Oh, yeah. No. There's a little interfamilial sexy time going on in the Freeman. I'm surprised you didn't know about that. Now, she's not related by blood, but it's that whole thing of, like... Now, I might be getting this wrong. The actual nature of the relation. I don't know if it says in there
Exactly.
No, really, it's not mentioned in this Associated Press piece at all.
This is a thing that came out last year, I believe. Well, we'll get into this later on, but I was going to say remind me, but it seems like that's the thing that'll stick with you. You're not likely to forget that.
I don't think we'll forget that.
All right. So we got that. Also, because it is Friday, I have here a big bag of snack foods. So now, what's the deal? I was supposed to bring, like, Triscuits and Triscuit-type items, and you were going to bring something to put on the Triscuits.
Well, and I also brought, a couple of different kinds of my favorite flavored snack crackers.
So what is it you brought?
I brought...
I got a lot of crackers over here.
Well, we'll get to that when we do the bits.
No, we got to do a little bit of an overview. I mean...
All right, I don't know if you have ever tried the roasted gorgonzola.
No, I have those at home. Those are fantastic. They're like a octagonal cracker that has gorgonzola cheese sort of baked into them.
Yes,
they're like a much better version of those Cheez-It crackers, which I really don't care for. They're really like an upscale version of that.
And these are onion and chive seeded corn crackers.
I like what we're saying. Those look fantastic.
Yes, these are like the bastard child of a tortilla chip and a Frito.
See, this is why it doesn't ruin the bit, because you're holding those up right now. So Trader Joe's onion and chive. When you say seeded corn crackers, what does that mean? Does that mean they're a corn cracker with like caraway seeds or rye seeds
They're a little corn cracker, and they also have flax, hemp, poppy, and black and white sesame seeds in them.
But now I'm just going to be spending the next hour and a half just pining away for those. That's fantastic.
Well, we're doing this fairly. We're doing the top of the show. You don't have to wait that long.
Are we doing it now?
And of course, I brought pub cheese.
This is like the whipped sort of... This is the whipped cream type cheese concoction. That's what I'm talking about right there. That is the cheese that Laura brought home from Trader Joe's that she then got a second time. And after the second tub, and it by the way, nothing has ever been more aptly named than the fact that it comes in a tub, because that's what you're going to be after eating that. You just become just a massive tub-shaped human whose arteries are just awash in heart-stopping goodness. That was the thing that prompted me to tell her that we could not have it anymore. I just said the second time, I'm like, we can't buy this, because I was doing everything but just sitting around with an ice cream scoop and just like, you know.
I've had the cheddar and jalapeno pub cheese, which is also good. And now I noticed this morning they have a third flavor now, the cheddar pub cheese with horseradish.
What flavor is this? Is this just
the straight cheese.
Straight out cheddar.
Just straight out cheddar. Because I didn't want it to battle with the flavored crackers too much.
See, good thinking. I think I have not had this flavor. I think both times, because I'm a big fan of the spice. So I think both times I've had the cheddar and jalapeno, as they seem to say here, for reasons that aren't quite clear.
So then you brought flavor, because I have never tasted any flavor of flavored Triscuits ever.
I know that you keep saying that, and my ears keep hearing it, and my brain keeps processing it, but I don't know how that's possible. You like Triscuits, right?
I do. I think it's one of those things that Triscuits, I think to myself, you know, I plan ahead. I do very little impulse buying at the grocery store. I really don't. I will do impulse buying at Trader Joe's. I will go, oh, this sounds delicious. What's it? Because I go there specifically for that. It's like, you know, I'm just going to buy all kinds of random crap. But when I go to a grocery store, I'm just going to buy the grocery store items. Yeah. And so if I have already thought ahead of time, I'm going to have some cheese and this and that, and I'm going to have some Triscuits. So it's like, you get the Triscuits. I don't ever branch out. I just like get the thing that's on the list, which is the plain Triscuits.
All right. See, so that is the difference between you and I, is that I'm somewhat betwixt a Trader Joe's and a Safeway. So every time I step out of the house, it is the sort of like devil angel thing of like, I could go to Trader Joe's. Now, there's anything wrong with going to Safeway. But if you go to Trader Joe's, it's simply a smaller store to begin with. They have fewer. It's not a supermarket. I mean, it's basically food only. I mean, it's just food and wine. That's basically all they stock. It's not like you can go there to get a mop or something. And I don't know whether that's good or bad. I think just by definition, if you go to Trader Joe's, the odds that you're going to come home with something that is, quote, bad for you, in the sense that it's like just a snack food or a junk food, that it's not a staple, I think the odds are lower just because they have less stuff to begin with. But you go to Safeway, and there's more stuff, so ergo, there is more bad stuff.
Yeah, see, as I've said before, I don't like to shop. I'm not somebody who genuinely enjoys shopping as a rule. But there are some places that I really love shopping. And IKEA is one of those places. I love Target, and I love Trader Joe's. And they're all three are dangerous places, because they all have like a lot of really cool, interesting things that individually they don't cost very much. But so the thing is, I end up walking around and going, ooh, this is only $1.99. Ooh, this is cool. It's only $3. And the next thing I know, I've spent like $40.
I'm intrigued by the idea that you find shopping at Target to be... I'm not saying there's anything wrong with Target, but Target's a place to which I am just indifferent. I mean, I'm not opposed to it, but I don't really like, oh, I get to go to Target today. It's the most glorious day of my existence ever. What is it about Target, shopping at Target you find enjoyable?
I think it's because it's an interesting combination of they have lots and lots of things. They have things from pretty much every aspect of life you could possibly need.
Right.
Everything from like automotive supplies to snack foods.
Well, that's true.
To pet supplies. But also in the interim, when it comes to things like glassware and kitchenware and things for your bathroom and stuff like that, they tend to have really well styled things. Things that are actually cool looking. That you, like, don't mind having in your house.
For less than you might expect.
And the prices are really, really good. So it's kind of like, this is the coolest little plastic dish for putting crackers on I've ever seen. And it's only $4.
That's a fair point. No, and I'll tell you why. Here's why I guess I agree with that. And again, it's not like I have some grudge against it. It's not like shopping at Walmart where you just want to kill yourself.
Yeah.
I mean... And I've gone to Walmart. By the way, the curtains that decorate the walls of this studio, they are, in fact, from Walmart. Because, as I think Lisa and Brian Wood from Big Ass Sandwiches said when they were here the other day, when you're the one spending the money, suddenly Walmart looks a lot better. Suddenly all of my... I'm never going to be seen shopping at Walmart until I have my own business, in which case I will buy everything at Walmart. Because it's like... I think it was like, you know, it's like $4 or something to buy 700 curtains to cover the, you know, the inside of the place. But you know, when you go, but the trade-off there is you want to die the entire time you're inside. Going to Walmart is just like, it is, it's just like, we played that Idiocracy clip at the beginning of the show, and that really was, I guess, it was just coincidental. It wasn't because I planned on mentioning Walmart, but it really is like that, where you're looking around going like, where do these people come from? There was this, In Bigger Than Jesus, I have this whole thing at the end where which I mentioned before, right? I do talk about the seven types of people you always see at a concert. But I talk about how there's the rock chicks, CHIX, and that they all look, you know, they have like, you know, like the you know, big hair and pants that are like three sizes too small, and they all look like they just came from like a Boston a concert somewhere. And it doesn't really matter what show you go to, like whether it's Limp Bizkit or John Mayer, it's like they're all there. But it's that you never see them during the day. Yeah. You know, it's like, where are... Like, they can't all work at, like, a nail salon somewhere. So I had this whole theory that there's a farm somewhere where they just grow these women and they keep them there, until, like, Slipknot comes to town. And then they bring them to the show and then back to the farm. So it is with, with Walmart, except I think now Walmart is actually the holding pen. I think Walmart is where they keep... Just like when you go to the DMV and you go, like, where do these horrible people of the DMV come from? They come from the Walmart. So yeah. I don't think the Walmart is actually a store. I think the store is, like, a cover. The store is just sort of a diversionary thing. That is some sort of a lab or farm or some sort of an experimental facility where they are just keeping, like, all the denizens of the bottom 5%. They're just being held there, or perhaps bred there. I mean, maybe there is some sort of dilution of the human gene pool and intelligence that is, you know, being facilitated by Walmart, where they just grow those folks and then they just kick them out into society to sort of eventually dumb down the entire populace enough that, you know, that our reptilian overlords can come and, you know, more easily enslave us.
And then there's Kmart, which is kind of, it aspires to be Target, but it's closer to being Walmart. So the thing is, like they have the entire Martha Stewart line of things that they sell only at Kmart. And they're, some of the stuff is really shoddily made. Some of it is really good. It's actually really, really well priced. And again, like the stuff you buy at Target, it's stylish. It's actually, the design is really nice for something you can buy at Kmart. The problem being that it's like going on safari.
Right.
You know, it's like, I've like maybe three times I've gone, I want to go get this Martha Stewart thing at Kmart. And that's involved having to go to Kmart. And the minute I walk in the door at Kmart, literally, I feel like I'm on a boat, like, you know, poling my way up the Amazon, like, through these hideous people and this hideous merchandise. And it's just the most hideous, and it smells weird.
Now, which Kmart have you gone to?
It doesn't matter.
Most recently, just they're all the same?
It does not matter.
Yeah.
I live in Tualatin now, and I thought the Tualatin Kmart would be nicer to the one in, like, southeast Portland. No. As soon as you walk through the door of Kmart, it doesn't matter where you are. You're in Kmart. It just smells kind of like popcorn and sweat and sadness.
I see. It's funny you say popcorn and sweat, because when you said popcorn, I was going to say and feet. When I picture the average... This is the thing about doing this show as opposed to, like, the show on CBS, is that, when one is working on a commercial terrestrial station, one must be very sensitive to... It's not like Kmart was ever going to say, like, we want to advertise on that Rick Emerson show as such, but what there would be is there would be these national buys.
Right, and if you're owned by CBS, you can't be pissing off Kmart.
Because they would place some sort of... They would play some sort of overall buy with the station and the building as a whole. They say, like, we want to buy, advertising on every station you own in Oregon. That's less likely to happen. When I picture the average Kmart shopper, though, I'm not saying this is true. I just picture it is just somebody who's carrying one kid while pushing another kid in a stroller. The kid is, vomiting on her shoulder, and she's wearing those, like, flip-floppy thong things on her feet where it's like the black rubber with like the little mesh thing that goes between your toes, like the $1.99 flip-flops, and she's shuffling through the store, and then one of her kids is just opening bags of potato chips on the shelves as they walk through, and she's busy yammering away in the cell phone to her girlfriend about a dad who won't pay his child support.
And every child under the age of 3 at either Kmart or Walmart, doesn't matter what time of year it is, whether it's actually cold and flu season, every child under the age of 3 will have that hideous green mucus hanging out of their noses.
Exactly. And something sticky on their hands. You're right when you say the thing about smelling like popcorn, too. And they've always got that really depressing, it's not even a Slurpee, it's like a slush puppy machine with the rotating plastic light-up cup that...
The sad-looking panda bear on it, or polar bear,
no,
or whatever.
I think he's a dog. He's a slush puppy. I believe he's a dog.
Oh, yeah,
he's
I guess
a,
so.
A dog wearing a knit hat with a little, like, snowball on top.
Yeah.
Looking sadly like there's a better life somewhere as he stares out. Let me just tell you. First of all, is it still Kmart or is it Big K? Or is it back to being Kmart from having been Big K?
I don't know. I always thought maybe they were two different stores within the chain, just like Target for a long time had the Target stores that had grocery stores as well.
What was that? Was it called?
And it was, I think it was called like
Super
Target? Super Target or so, yeah. So I
that's when I can't think of anything
K
else.
The Big K stores were different than the Kmart. I have no
now,
idea.
Here's, I think it's the difference. I think it was actually the Kmart, because I don't know about you, not like it ever changes, but when I was in school, Kmart was like the single worst place that your clothes could come from. I mean, it was like, even in Kennewick, they had some, it was a totally artificial standard, but there was some kind of standard that had been just arbitrarily imposed, and it was like your clothes could come from Sears, they could come from Nordstrom, they could come from, whatever. But if you were seen shopping... It wasn't even that you couldn't wear anything from there. It's just that if you were seen, or your parents were seen buying things for you at Kmart, you would receive scorn evermore. And so that
it's
was
like the whole thing of
wearing
Levi's versus Wranglers.
Yeah, exactly. Or, or Lee jeans was the thing. You could wear Wranglers in Kennewick because it was like there's some farming communities on the outskirts.
Yeah.
So Wranglers were sort of like that was cowboy wear or whatever. But Lee's, that was like where your parents had just done it wrong.
Or the worst ones, the Sears Rough Skins.
Tough Skins.
Yeah, only the kids in the special needs classes wore the Tough Skins where I went to school.
Here's the other kids who wore Tough Skins. Children who were euphemistically referred to as being husky, because that was the size that Sears has. Sears didn't sell, like, pants for your fat-ass child who can't stop shoveling Cheetos into his mouth. They called them husky pants.
Oh, God.
And husky pants, the way, sounds like you're wearing a dog around. But they had Tough Skins in the husky size. And so that was like a confluence of all... That was like the worst of all possible worlds. You know, you're there and you're wearing Sears from, the pants from Sears, and they're Tough Skins, and they say husky, and they say it on the back.
Oh, yeah.
Like, at least Levi's smartened up at one point, and they quit putting the size of the jeans, at least for women.
That was so traumatic for me when I was in junior high school, and I was getting hips, and I wasn't fat, but I thought I was, partly because, I'm fat now, but I wasn't fat then, mainly because I was starting to get, like, hips and stuff, and everybody would talk about, and you could see what size pants everyone wore,
right,
because we all wore Levi's. And so my skinny friends who have not actually reached puberty yet are wearing like size 32 jeans, and I'm like in the 36s because I'm actually getting hips, and I just felt like a boat.
Yeah.
And it's like you feel like you're advertising it to everyone.
Yeah, and I think it's less of an issue for guys, or at least it was, at least it was when I was a ute. So I don't know if that's it. But I mean, I guess I'm wearing Levi's right now, I think. And I'm almost certain. I don't want to just stand and have you look at my ass, but I'm almost certain that these
why,
actually
why
say.
Why stop now?
Well,
it's not like it would be the first. It would be the first time.
I am almost certain. We'll just say this. I am almost certain that they
Come
still.
On.
I'm now going to stand up, and Dawn is going to look at my buttocks.
All right.
So that she can see the size. You may have to lift my belt up.
Woohoo!
All right. Does it still say?
Yeah, it does. Wow, you are a slender little man.
I'm barely even here, actually.
Your legs are longer than your waist is around.
Is that true?
Yes.
Well, it probably is true.
Yes.
All right. Well, it's because I subsist largely on sunshine. I exude a chlorophyll-like substance and hate from my cells. I don't know what you're talking about. Oh, just real quickly to wrap up the whole Kmart thing. So, but this is a thing they did in the late 80s, early 90s, because they must have done some sort of focus grouping or something where they just said, look, children find our clothing hideous. And, young people who buy our products are mocked relentlessly by their compatriots. We have to do something. How can we get rid? And so they did exactly what the tobacco companies do. We're like, Philip Morris is no longer Philip Morris. They're not Advanta. That's an insurance company or something. It is like Advantagia or something. But they just created like this completely generic but sort of sparkly sounding. It sounds like a thing they would put in like a breath mint. But that's the name of Philip Morris.
So or like a prescription drug that you wouldn't know what it did from the commercial.
Yeah. Well, what is this called? Well, it's called Plexico. What does it do? And it's like, no one has any idea what it does.
But it's purple and it makes you happy.
Yeah, and you can run through a field. And so they changed Kmart to Big K. But of course, the thing is, it's not like he did it under cover of darkness or the store went away. And then like 6 months later, a brand new store called Big K. There was a guy out there with a crane and a hammer putting up, tacking up the thing that said Big K.
And it's the same K that they used in the Kmart logo, so you know it's Kmart.
It's sort of like changing your name, but then like buying front page space in the newspaper to announce to everyone that you've changed your name. It doesn't really, like if you're Jeff Golooly, it doesn't really work.
Or changing your name to, you know, Dick Emerson.
Yeah.
I'm a completely different guy.
It doesn't really have the intended effect. I will say the last time I went to a Kmart was in Sunnyside. Well, not Sunnyside, not like Sunnyside, Washington, but you know, the Sunnyside area here. Because it was on the way to my shrink's office, and I had to stop and buy something or other. And by the way, just on the way to see my shrink, I have never felt better about myself than going to that Kmart beforehand. That really was like swinging like an extra heavy bat or something in the warm-up circle, because everybody there had many, many more problems than I do. Just looking at them, you could tell. So, speaking of shopping, so I got the Triscuits last night. So, I was at the Safeway. So here's what I have for today. So you got the pub cheese.
Yes.
You got the pub cheese and a couple of different crackers. Now, we have way more crackers than we have toppings. So we may have to kill Dan and put his entrails on these.
All right.
I got Triscuits, cracked pepper, and olive oil. Now, these have been my favorite of the so-called new Triscuits. And these have a lot of calories, so don't even look at the sign.
I like the Triscuit, though, that they've maintained the same box.
Oh, yeah. No, it's comforting.
Nabisco is very good at maintaining like brand integrity, so you can always recognize their products.
Well, and also because they know that it is a comfort food. They know that it's a thing, because, and I'm going to sound dopey about this, but I mean, Triscuits were like a big part of my childhood, in the sense that if they were ever had, we only had two kinds of crackers in the house ever. We had regular saltines and we had Triscuits, because my dad was really partial to Triscuits because they're thick and hearty and they're a manly cracker. And so it was like all we ever, especially, and I remember at Christmas time, the house would just be like awash in Triscuits, like by the thousands.
Wow.
So
we always had, there were always saltines.
Yeah.
And I mean the big tin can of saltines used to have.
We had the tin can.
And then when my family was feeling particularly fancy, there would be Ritz crackers.
See,
but that was rare.
We didn't really ever have the Ritz crackers, and Ritz crackers are a little too soft for me. They always seem a little bit soggy, as though they've been, you know, as though they've been in the cupboard for just a month or two, like too long, and maybe the package was open a little bit. They're not bad, but they don't have the snap to it. Let's see, I have the Triscuit, rosemary, and olive oil. Now these are okay. They're a little sweet for my taste, a little sugary. So I can only eat a few of those, and then it's like and then I got to put them away. Now this final box of Triscuits might in fact be my favorite. The cracked pepper and olive oil has been, I mean, that's been number one. This is the Triscuit Garden Herb. This is a deeply satisfying cracker because...
And we had talked about your love of the veggie thins when you were young. So does this
exactly
recall the veggie thin experience a
little
bit?
It does, and it also tastes, as I mentioned, of like a holiday, like a cheese ball that like you make at the holiday.
Oh, yeah.
This tastes a lot like some of your finer cheese ball. So, by the way, I have here three boxes. Now, if you were my wife, if you were Laura and I were to ask you, hey, so how many boxes of Triscuits did Rick bring home last night? You would say four. That would be a lie. You'd be wrong about that. I actually bought six boxes of Triscuits. So basically what it is, I bought a box each of those for here, and then I just bought a box each of those for home as well. But then when I walk in the front door and I'm carrying... The bag has six boxes of Triscuits and like a brick of cheese in it. And she said, what'd you buy? And I said, oh, I bought a few boxes of Triscuits, honey. And she said, how many? And I said, three for work and one for here. And and meanwhile, I'm doing that. So how are the dogs? And I like throw something to distract Philo. And then I'm like running into the office and sticking everything under my chair. I would like to say that as I was walking through Safeway last night, I don't know if you do this, do you use the shopping cart, like for just a few items, the shopping cart, the basket, or do you just carry stuff in your arms?
If I'm only getting like a couple, if I know I'm only getting like two or three things, I won't bother with the basket at all. Usually I just, again, if I'm at Safeway, it's usually for actual grocery shopping. So I use the cart, the
right.
Wheeled cart. But if I go to someplace like Trader Joe's or something, I won't use the cart deliberately because I know...
You'll buy too much.
I'll buy too much stuff. So I use the little hand basket. And as soon as the basket is full,
You're done.
Then it's like, I can buy no more things.
All right.
It's
a safety valve for you. So me, I don't want to use the cart because I never buy that much because I'm not saying it's like woman's work or whatever. But Laura does the shopping because she does the cooking because she enjoys it. So I will, but what I'll do is like I'm the guy who has to like, I back clean up, so if we run out of things during the week, it's just understood that I'm the guy who does it because I stay up late and the store is usually empty late at night. Usually empty. Last night, though, and so I just carry this stuff in my hands because I can never find a basket. The baskets are, they're gone. They're never, I can never, because the shopping carts, you know where they are. They're in a big thing by the door, right? The baskets, there's no single repository for them. They're just sort of, you know what they are? They're like, the baskets at a Safeway are like coin boxes in Mario World. You just got to keep looking because they're around somewhere. You don't know where. There's no sign. You just got to try. Maybe here. No. Maybe here. No. Maybe. Hey, look at that. So I'm just carrying this up in my arms. So this is me. This is my life in a nutshell. I'll skip to the end, which is where I am walking through. I was going to give this whole backstory involving the whole thing, but I'm walking through Safeway, and I'm carrying not one, not two, not three, not four, not five, six boxes of Triscuits and a brick of cheese. And in fact, I'm carrying so many boxes of Triscuits last night that they sort of keep falling out. You know what I'm like? And I'm back and forth like a Jenga pile, just as I'm walking down the aisle, trying to get to the U-scan thing so I can check stuff out without having to have any human contact. And it's like, and I look all bad. My hair's all effed up, and I got food stains on my shirt because I was just at home eating some tomato soup and like dripping it on myself, and I just look terrible. And I six boxes of Triscuits. And as I'm wandering through the store carrying my 1,000 calories of Triscuits and whatever, as I'm going to the U-scan thing and like teetering back and forth, and I'm dropping a brick of cheese on the ground and I'm bending it over, and then the Triscuits all spill. As that happens, this guy who was walking by me looks up and he goes, Rick? And I was just like, thank you. Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. Thank you for... all right. We've got a phone call here. Let's see if I can... and I'm not even sure that I've actually turned this on. So we will endeavor to turn this on and we'll see who is going to be the first call of the day right here on the Rick Emerson radio program. Hello, sir, madam, as the case may be.
Rick, how's it going?
Hello. Hi, what's up?
I'll make it quick. I don't mean to interrupt your wonderful show. I wish I was listening to, but I tried to email you. I talked to you. You had promised me earlier in the week a subscription for a month.
Is this Josh?
Yes, it is.
This is Josh of the Squeaky Fromm phone number. I'm so glad you contacted me. I
want you to say his name, and now you've said it.
Now
again.
I've said it again. Is this Ted?
It's already in. This is Ted Flanerty or something.
I'm so glad you got back in touch because I was actually going to mention this during the beginning of the show that this is on my list of things to get to, that I had all this guilt that you had gotten a Squeaky Fromm's phone number and that we are going to give you a subscription for that. And I had put it on my list of things to do. And then I just I mentioned earlier that I was transferring all of my to-do things from my Franklin planner, my paper planner, to my iPhone, and that was the thing, and that was one of the things I looked back and I realized I forgot to transition it over. So we will take care of that today, sir. Before
Great,
the end of the day,
we
will get that to you. Excellent. Thank you. Please don't think it goes unappreciated. That is my fault, not yours. That is totally Rick Emerson's failure right there. So we will get that taken care of by the end of the day, because let it never be said that I am unappreciative of squeaky Fromm-based favors. So we will get you some subscription information.
If you ever do anything with that, you're probably in the same boat I am, kind of just like having the knowledge but not really ready to use it. But if you do, let us know.
Excellent. No, you'll... Yeah, go ahead.
And on a second note, if all goes well, my girlfriend's fun employed at the moment and stuff, but I will continue that subscription with my own dollar.
Awesome.
After that month there.
Excellent.
Kind, sir.
Thank you, my friend. We'll get in touch with that later
Thank
on the day.
Thank you very much.
There you go. That's Ted Flannery, ladies and gentlemen, who provided us with Squeaky Fromm's phone number earlier in the week, which is a thing that not too many people can say they've done. That really is, it's a rarefied type of strata. Well, that saves me the trouble of mentioning that.
We are going to reward that man.
Seriously. Anyway, so there you go. So that was as I'm dropping all my Triscuits, it goes, "Hey, Rick," and I look up, and it's like, and I realize I'm holding six boxes of Triscuits and some cheese, and I can't take it as read that he necessarily had heard the show because people listen later or whatever. And I was like, "What explanation?" And I just did nothing. I just went, "Hey," and he's like, "Best show ever," and then he just kept walking. I was like, "Thank you." So there you go. And. One final thing before we get to the news here. First of all, I should say that today's show is brought to you by, among other folks, Mr. Michael Beatty of The Cleaning Solution. 971-533-3211 is his phone number, 971-533-3211, and he will take care of your home, your office, anything your feet touch, be it carpet, hardwood, stone, upholstery, whatever. 971-533-3211. We'll talk more about him later on. My final statement, I swear to Christ, before we move on ahead and get to the news, because we got the clown porn, Dan Clark.
Snack foods,
corpse watch, clergy watch, stupid criminal. The good news is that Sarah and Greg are in it late this afternoon, 3-ish or something to tape. The good news is, because we've got snack foods, we can probably, if we need to run a little long, we can probably do that just by having them in to partake in snack food consumption with us. My final note is just by way of just a little bit of an apology to Dawn, to everyone, because I think the last couple of days, you and I have talked about how we've just been sort of loopy this week.
Yeah.
And I don't know what's causing it on your side of the table. I assume it's just the same innate craziness that is usually to blame, but who's to say? I mean, that's not really... I mean, look, I'm not a doctor. I don't know. I'm not a licensed clinician in any way, so I can't really assess. I mean, I can assess. It's just likely to be wrong. But usually, it's like one of us is crazy, and the other one is, you know, less so. But then occasionally, you get that thing...
Yeah.
Where it's like both of you are crazy on the same day. Like maybe you've been in a relationship like that. Not that you strike me as the kind of person who ever might have had a tumultuous love affair.
Oh, heavens no.
But, you know, there's that thing where normally, you know, you're not both nuts at exactly the same time in the same way. But every now and again, usually 2 a.m. on a Sunday night or something, and after one of you has had a pint of black velvet, there will just, and a handful of cold medication, which was a bad, which I told you was a bad combination, by the way. That's not directed at Laura. It really isn't. It really honestly is not. Anyway. But, you know, there's that moment where it's like the planets all lining up, you know, and it's like both of you are in exactly the same crazy mode. And that's where you just get into these horrible screaming arguments, which is not what's happened here. Here we just get sort of loopy and cranky. It's not like we actually have big arguments as such.
No.
I mean, I'm sure that joyous day will come at some point.
I don't think we've ever had... an actual argument.
That means we get to look forward to it still. We should just have it now so we can just be done with it. But the last couple of days, it's like, you know, you and I both been a little wacky. Just a little left of center. Not quite, I don't even want to say not quite functional, but I mean just a little out of the groove in some ways. But I think yesterday it reached like a sort of zenith for me. It reached a kind of apex on Thursday where I was just so... just completely just like out of it.
And I felt actually pretty good. I felt pretty much on top of it yesterday. You were the one yesterday who was... Monday and Tuesday it was me. Wednesday it was kind of mutual. Yesterday it was you.
I was just completely... when I say non-functional, it's not like I couldn't tie my shoes or anything. Just one of those things where your brain is just everything. Your brain is kind of wobbly. Your brain is like a mine car. They're just kind of going... back on the track and just sort of vibrating, and you feel like it might come off the rails at any moment. So I just wanted to apologize for being a little wacky yesterday, because this last week I had averaged, I didn't really mention this at the time, but I had averaged like about 2 to 3 hours of sleep for what seemed like about 5 days in a row. And so I think hopefully by Monday that'll be at an end, and just not to get all bogged down in the whatever, but so there's this whole book project that I've been working on. Mm-hmm. And this week was when there's this whole thing where you send off the actual finished manuscript. They give you a date. It's called the DNA, the delivery and acceptance date. And that's when you send off the actual finished manuscript. But what you don't really anticipate there is that then you'll get it back with like 755 things that all have to be changed. And of course, you know me, I'm like, that's flawless. It's genius. There's nothing about this. It's set it in type. It is done, baby. I'm just sort of picturing myself as like some modern day Vonnegut, where it's like the minute it's done, like you don't need to change a period. It's good to go. Send it to Borders now. So they send back, this like raft of changes.
So now you have to go back over all of this material again that you had already, like, stressed over, and you didn't think that you were going to have to think about it again. And now you're in the copy editing process,
yeah.
Which is...
Well, the copy editing process, and for which been given 7 days. That is 1 week to get it all done. And, I mean, it's, a few hundred pages long. And so there's that. And so there's the, going through and like, is this, what does this parenthetical observation mean? It doesn't make any sense or whatever. And so you're having to like fix all this stuff and make it more clear. But then the other thing I found out is that when I send back the actual, as you said, the copy edited version of this, the other thing I realized that I've got to include with this is the acknowledgments, the thanks to and the dedication. And when you open a book and it's like, to mom and God or something, and then at the end it goes, this book would not have been made possible without the assistance of the following people, which is like the liner notes in a record album where they say, hey, we want to thank all the babes down at Roxy's as well as the Creel dealer on the Sunset Strip. And you don't realize how stressful that is. I mean it's just like, it's a good problem to have and all, but it's that thing where you're sitting there because you realize that you will without fail leave out someone important, and then you're just Hillary Swank at the Oscars not thanking her husband and looking like a whore, So between the actual copy editing, which is still not done, but now I got the weekend, and the acknowledgments and the dedication, just all of, and then it's like the whole dedication thing where you're just like, you almost don't want to put it at all because you realize that no matter what you put for the dedication, somebody somewhere is going to be pissed off at you. So I've been trying to get all that done, and on fun days like Monday and Tuesday, I actually got up at like 7 in the morning to go do Outlook Portland, then came here to do this show, and then I was up to like 4 to do the book, then I was up again at 7 to do Outlook Portland. So that, if I sounded like I was a little bit crazy yesterday, it's because I think I'd had about 6 hours of sleep over like 3 or 4 days. So Rick Emerson regrets being a little nutty the last couple of days. That shan't happen again, I hope.
Well, I have nothing to offer other than also in my Trader Joe's bag, I brought a surprise dessert snack item.
Really?
I did.
Fantastic. All right. Let's get to some... I'm not even going to guess at what it is because I don't want to ruin the surprise for myself.
I'm just hoping you haven't had them.
Let's get to the news here, and then we will have Dan Clark later on talking about Pirate Festival. We've got Stupid Criminal of the Week, Corpse Watch, Clergy Watch, and all that. This, however, is Dawn Taylor.
And now, from the news desk, this is Dawn Taylor.
Comedy Central's Jon Stewart and Stephen Colbert are taking their satirical battle of ideologies to the streets. On his Thursday evening Daily Show, Jon Stewart announced his intention to hold a rally to restore sanity on October 30th. See you October 30 on the National Mall to spread the timeless message, take it down a notch for America, Stewart said.
How could he be on the mall?
You just are, though.
I mean, what is mall?
On the mall.
I don't mean to sound dumb. Is mall a real word?
Yes.
What does it actually mean?
I don't know.
Okay, those are two statements that don't go well. If you don't,
I know it's a real word. Just
well, it's
I don't
a word in
the
sense that it's on the
definition for it.
It's on the page in front of you. I guess what I'm saying is it a? That's weird.
That's you.
Is that my computer?
I don't know
I have
what
no
that is.
No idea from where that sound. Hold on a second.
That's a weird sound that seemed to be coming from nowhere. All right, now it's gone.
Okay.
Jesus, that was odd. Have you ever heard that noise in this room before?
No, I've never heard that before.
It was like Samuel Morse was in my head.
I know.
No, I'm not saying mall isn't a word. Obviously, it is a word. You're using it. But I'm saying, is that a slang term for shopping center that has become then used for the mall in Washington? It's just, I have always wondered that, but no one's ever explained what it means. Here we go. Mall. Mall. M-A-L-L. A large, heavy wooden beetle.
Well, it's a large public area, often set with shade trees and designed as a promenade or as a pedestrian walk. It is actually short for Pall Mall, which was a Pall Mall alley in Britain, which was an urban area with shops and such, apparently.
What dictionary are you looking at?
I don't know, something online. Merriam-Webster.
How is it that I'm looking at this and it calls it, I swear to God I'm reading this. This is from Ninja Words, which is a where they aggregate dictionaries online and then they find out whatever the most common definition is, then they use it. So I sort of assume that it's correct most of the time, but I swear to God, mall, a large, heavy, wooden beetle. That sounds like the definition we're not using. That is a tertiary definition at best.
Well, I'm not sure exactly what Pall Mall is. I would have to look that
He's
up
He's the
separately.
Guy who manages The Undertaker.
Is he really?
Yes.
Well, did he apparently he had a mallet. And the Pall Mall mallet was used in Pall Mall.
Let's not spend any more time on this.
And there you go.
This guy says, that sound is a cell phone. No, it's not. You're anyway. Making that up. Here's Don Taylor.
Anyway, they will be having this rally to restore sanity on the National Mall. Not to be outdone, however, Stephen Colbert issued a rejoinder on the following Colbert Report, who said, now is not the time to take it down a notch. Now is the time for all good men to freak out for freedom, he said, declaring his plan to hold a march to keep fear alive on the same day. Stewart assured viewers that his intentions were genuine and that the show had filled out necessary forms to reserve the National Mall. The dueling rallies come less than a month after Glenn Beck attracted the media spotlight with his Restoring Honor rally.
I was sort of disappointed that Glenn Beck thing didn't cause any more upset. I was really hoping for a significant upheaval that day, and I was let down on that score. I was promised civil unrest.
Yeah, I was hoping that there would be, angry rednecks beaning each other with
I wasn't even hoping. But no, because angry rednecks never bean each other. It's just that liberals and rednecks get together and then they pound on each other. Mm. That's the deal. It was like, can I just tell you, here's one of the greatest moments of my Portland experience, and a moment that was then thwarted sort of at the end. I remember there was, do you remember we were having all those anti-war marches that happened here in 2003 in the build-up to the Iraq War?
Yeah.
So there was a lot of people, however the media reported it. Like I was there, like Tim, when I went down to report, there was like 40,000 people in the first one of those. I mean, it was huge. And, so there's this massive parade going through downtown as people are quite understandably asking the government not to fritter away like trillions of dollars and thousands of lives in some damn fool war that has no purpose.
And it did a lot of good, too, didn't it?
Yeah, so we're marching. Well, but I never anticipated that would happen. But they're marching along. But then there was the greatest thing that happened. Because if you remember that day that 40,000 person march happened downtown in 2003, in '03, there was the 40,000 people marching against the war. And then there was actually, I swear to Christ, like a pro-war parade that was happening. It was almost too good to be true. And the cops had this whole carefully orchestrated thing. Because they weren't gatherings. They were, in fact, parades. They were mobile. They were moving. And the cops, to their credit, had this thing. They were being very careful to steer them away from each other and in opposite directions. But then at one point, either somebody got their signals crossed or somebody disregarded somebody else, or just somebody in the office decided to have a little bit of fun because it was a Slack Friday and just steer the things toward you. And Tim and I were actually, and it was at the park. What is that fountain at the park? Is that what are they? Is that they just don't just call it the
Lovejoy Fountain?
Is that the Lovejoy Fountain? Is that what they call that?
So,
I always, for some reason, think that's in Northwest. But
I don't know.
Anyway, but they're at the fountain in the park where I swear to God, like the pro war and the anti war march,
the one down by Waterfront Park,
yeah, where
comes
by
out
the Rose
the,
by the Tom McCall place.
I can't remember what that's called.
Yeah. But the two parades actually like met. Like face to face, and Tim and I were there, like standing up on like that little like stone thing that's there, looking down at the crowd. And there was like the pro-war people and the anti-war people, and there were literally like just a few riot cops there. And I was like, this is it. Like this is my Hindenburg moment. Like, this is my Chicago 68 moment where I get to be in the middle of the upheaval.
And you're just standing there hoping that they'll start pounding
yes,
on each other?
Yes, God, yes, with everything in me. I mean, I was like, I was just like calling in every favor with God, and apparently I have none, or I've used them all. I was just like hoping against hope that there would just be some huge, just massive brawl that would happen, like just some Haymarket riot that would just, you know, through all of downtown. And then a bunch of other cops showed up with their, like, you know, the fancy, you know, like immobilization rays and whatever. And then it didn't happen. So I was hoping that would happen at the Glenn Beck rally. And again, denied. It's certainly not going to happen. It's a goddamn John Stewart. I mean, seriously.
No, but I mean, I just like the idea that I just enjoy as a little publicity stunt and as comedy. I enjoy the idea that their writers get together and they actually reserve them all. And the Daily Show announced they're going to have the rally to restore sanity. And so Colbert, of course, you know, on the same night,
right,
he says, I heard about this. And no, we're going to have our march to keep fear alive.
And you know that march will draw more people, by the way. That'll be actually the more popular of the two. So, all right. God bless him. All right.
Let's do our clergy watch.
All right. Here is your, really, 2 days in a row?
Well, yeah, it's clergy. Wow. They're all over the place.
Is there something going on at the Catholic Church? Some sort of scandal that's keeping them in the news, Don? Is there something I wasn't privy of? All right, here's your clergy watch for Friday right here on the Rick Emerson radio program.
Well, I guess it would be nice.
Here's Don Taylor with your clergy watch.
Plus, I'll just admit that I just can't hear that song enough. Really.
No, it's especially since you said that. Aren't they taunting George Michael with that in prison
yes,
right now?
Yes.
And you know that it's the whole you know, touch your body line. I mean, that really is. That's just I wanted. I'm just picturing that in like a sort of Arrested Development style cutaway scene where it's him just laying in the prison cell, just staring blankly up at the while we hear 1,000 guys, you know, in cell block 5 off key chanting, "Every night, if I can touch your body and rape it." Yes. All right, here's Don Taylor.
Investigators in Pennsylvania have charged a former pastor with killing his wife. They said the clergyman staged a car crash in 2008 to make his wife's death look like an accident.
Pastor
barely knew her.
But in reality, it's a case of homicide. Former pastor Arthur Shermer is accused of murdering his wife, Betty Shermer, and staging a car crash in Monroe County, Pennsylvania, to make it look like an accident. Police believe the then pastor of the Readers United Methodist Church beat his wife and then crashed his car into a guardrail out near their home. His wife later died at the hospital from head injuries. Police believed it was all an accident and no autopsy was ever done. State police reopened the case in October 2008 after a man committed suicide in the church office. According to police, Shermer was having an affair with the wife of the man who killed himself. Then police started looking into Shermer's past and discovered his first wife may also have died a suspicious death.
I can't even keep track of the story anymore. So Guy kills himself. They find out the guy's wife was having an affair with the pastor, and then they start looking into the pastor's, you'll forgive me, past, and then they think now that his first wife, who they thought died under
a crash. Yeah, the guy kills himself.
Right.
They start looking into his past, and then they go, you know, his wife was in this car crash
That's
and
odd.
Died. And then they start looking into it and look back to his first wife, who died after falling down a flight of stairs in 1999.
Okay.
And her death is still under investigation.
All right.
So the search for answers in Betty Shermer's death ramped up late in 2008 when investigators said they discovered bloodstains in the pastor's garage. According to court papers, the DNA of the blood matches the family line of Betty Shermer.
All right. Well, there you go. I'm sorry. Let me just, because I know I'll get Shermer.
I barely knew her.
There's your clergy watch for Friday on the Rick Emerson radio program.
Because I got to have faith.
Awesome. It's 603-505-6964, 503-505-6964. Let's do one more here, and I'm just trying to sort of keep an eye on what we should do. Let's do one more, and then I'm going to go rustle up Dan Clark from the kitchen.
3 years after beating breast cancer, a disease that rarely affects men, former Kiss drummer Peter Criss wants guys to know it can happen to them, too. The rock star, best known for the ballad Beth, is participating in a walkathon for the American Cancer Society next month near his home at the Jersey Shore. He wants fans to sponsor him or join the walk themselves. Criss, who played the Catman with the costumed rockers, asks supporters to register through his website, PeterCriss.net. The October 17th event in Point Pleasant Beach already has raised more than $108,000 for the fight against breast cancer. The 64-year-old says he's cancer-free and emphasizes there should be no stigma or embarrassment attached to getting the disease as a man. It's not an embarrassing thing. It's a very important, major thing, he said. You find something wrong, you have to go see a doctor immediately. It's not going to go away. I was this rock hero, Criss said. I had dolls made of me. I never thought I could catch anything, and then there it was.
I don't think one catches cancer, but I mean, I suppose that's just a subtle distinction there.
How could I get cancer? I had dolls made of me.
Well, you know, one does like to think that if, you know, that maybe a little bit of the superhero vibe leeches onto you, you know, maybe you just sort of acquire. Hey, look, he's the guy who, I told you this, right, called his agent, you know, in the middle of the night. He's like, I think I killed somebody. Get a lawyer. Bye. And just hung up. And then they went in the next day, and like he was just asleep. You know, there's just nobody there. So apparently, people would receive late night calls from Peter Criss in the 70s, where they would just be like screaming and smashing of crockery, like in the background, just like the sound. And at one point, this guy C.K. Len talked about. At one point, he got this call from Peter Criss, and there was just like a bunch of screaming and like a gunshot. You know, and he's like, Peter, what's going on? Peter, I hear gunshots. Click. And then the next day, there's just, you know. Peter, what's up with that phone call with the gunshots? I don't know what you're talking about. It was a whole lot of nothing. So he really is the most unfortunate member of KISS. I mean, like, he is the S-magnet of that group. Like, everything bad, anything that doesn't happen to Vinnie Vincent happens to Peter Criss. They're the, as Peter Griffin would say, nobody wants to be Peter Criss, Lois. Not even Peter Criss. So it's 503-505. 6964. You were the one who suggested we have a KISS watch or something. So I feel like I should be armed with a KISS song at this moment, but I'm really not. So we'll do something else instead. We're going to come back after this with Mr. Dan Clark talking about Pirate Festival 2010. Also coming up, Stupid Criminal of the Week. We will have our corpse watch, a little bit of clown porn. I don't really listen to the things that come out of my mouth sometimes because it just sounds too weird to even be processed by my brain. But then occasionally I do. And it's just as horrible as I imagined. Plus a variety of snack crackers and spreadable cheese. And I know that none of that made any sense. You're listening to the Rick Emerson Radio Program right here on the Emerson News Network. Stay right there.
Shocking terror beyond your imagination. Wednesday 13 in I Walked with a Zombie.
I'm damned if I voodoo when I'm
It is the Rick Emerson radio program. I'll take a moment to talk about Castalia Language Center. Now, as we found out last hour, this is, I think during Legion of News, we deduced that. So there's Delos. This is really like the actual embodiment of why these schools exist, because Dawn said this phrase to me like an hour ago, and I've already forgotten it and forgotten how to pronounce it and how to. But it's the Day of the Dead celebration they have in Mexico, and then apparently, which is also celebrated in Spain, which is a country my wife is going to be visiting in October. And she's the perfect example of why this is the right way to learn Spanish, which is the sort of immersive conversational method, because you spend enough time using it in the way that actual people use it, and it's going to make its way into your brain a lot faster. You're going to be able to process it, and you're going to actually be able to hold conversations. You're going to be able to ask for things that you really need in a way that people are really going to understand, so you don't sound like some stilted rube who just got out of his junior year of high school and has taken enough Spanish to be wooden. But that's about it. Castalia Language Center is a small private school in downtown Portland. They offer Spanish language classes for adults. You can find out more about them, by the way, by going to portlandspanish.com. portlandspanish.com. Clara Grebel is the owner of the school. She's a native Spanish speaker, raised and educated in Argentina. She now runs the Castalia Language Center. They focus on real-life situation. They work with authentic materials, and they teach you how to speak Spanish as opposed to learning about the history and development of Spanish, which is very interesting, but which is something you can actually learn yourself later on when you are speaking it, or when you're traveling it, or when you're sort of more immersed in the language and you actually have those conversations. You can find out more about it at portlandspanish.com. Class sizes are limited to 8 students, so you get near individual attention. It's a comfortable, relaxed environment. And again, because they focus, just on adults. Well, first of all, you're going to learn at the same rate, the same way as everybody else. And also, can we just speak together just as men here? You're not going to be shown up by an 8-year-old then, because nobody wants that. Because otherwise, if you're just a whole clique, because kids are just much faster with this kind of thing. And if you're sitting in class, you're just going to be shamed by some 9-year-old, and then there has to be a sort of punishment later on. And that's a thing we would all like to avoid. You can find out more about it at portlandspanish.com. Portlandspanish.com, Castalia Language Center. It is the Rick Emerson Radio Program. It's 503-505-6964. It is Friday. Still to come, Stupid Criminal of the Week. I will also be giving away another full-service membership to mugshotlist.com to one lucky listener. That's coming up later on. Also, I'm sorry. Yes, Don?
Did you actually get my audio for the Stupid Criminal of the Week?
Did you email that to me? Did you send that to the same email as yesterday?
Sure.
Because we had this whole thing this morning where some of your emails were not necessarily getting through. They were going to some sort of a black hole. All right, here we go. I do. I have this. Let me actually put it on my desktop right now. Stupid Criminal of the Week is coming up later on this hour. Plus, we will consume a variety of snack foods and cheeses. We've also got Corpse Watch coming up. And later on, we'll probably share a few moments with Sarah Dillon and Greg Nibbler of Fun Employment Radio. What other stories are we tracking on this Friday, Don Taylor?
Well, Morgan Freeman is now single. We have a mom who's been indicted for child endangerment after sending cell phone photos of her kid smoking a joint. And, of course, we have Stupid Criminal of the Week.
Fantastic. That is all on the way. Let's welcome out of the Rick Emerson Show our good friend, Mr. Dan Clark. Hello, sir. How are you?
I am fantastic. Thank you very much. Ahoy, yar, all that things.
You just say the whole 8 yar?
Ahoy, avast, yar, okay. Other nautical greetings.
In my head,
I don't really know how to answer.
I heard a, okay.
That was pirate talk.
Well, indeed. No, when he just said, I heard what I thought was the whole 9 yards or the whole 8 yar, and then it just transmogrified into a different thing in my head. Let me ask you this about your Merlin Olsen beard.
I've never actually received the Merlin Olsen reference. I've gotten the, most recently, the hobo rape thicket, the Alan Moore reference, but I've never actually heard the Merlin Olsen thing.
No, if you're Alan Moore, never mind. I was just Don and I sit and nerd out sometimes about it. Were you saying that you saw an interview with Alan Moore where he seemed like a singularly unlikable person?
Oh yeah,
no, he's a bastard.
Yeah, he just seemed like an absolutely a talented guy, but just a horrible person to be in a room with. and that was the last interview. It's not like I'm I know a ton of Alan Moore. He's the guy who did From Hell and The Watchmen and V for Vendetta and so forth. But I read this interview with him, and I think it was the interview was conducted right after he'd been living with these two chicks, this wife. They were in some polyamorous thing where it was him and his wife and then some other girl, and they were all married to each other. And then apparently one morning the girls just woke up and they were like, well, F this guy. Let's just, you know, you and I. And so they just like packed their stuff and left. And so they dumped him and moved off to go, you know, I don't know, to go raise sheep or something somewhere. And they interviewed him like the week after that had happened. And he was just he was in the foulest of moods. So that's what I think of whenever I think of Alan Moore. I just think of the guy just sitting there and just sort of seething. You've got this beard, though. How long did it take you to grow that? I mean, it's a substantial beard you have.
Yeah, well, I'm going for the natural full beard, as it were. Probably since last year's Pirate Festival, so September of 09.
Did you grow this for the Pirate Festival?
Well, it was one of those things where, you know, I used to always kind of go with the goatee and keep it trimmed and all that, and then I started dressing like a pirate, and it gave me an excuse to not shave. So I just kind of kept growing it out and keeping it full, and it's part of the shtick at this point.
Here's the great thing about Portland is that your sentences there ran like this. I just had a goatee, then I started dressing like a pirate. Now I just have the beard because it works with that. Now, between sentences 2 and 3, there's no real disconnect. Between sentences 1 and 2, it seems like there's sort of there's a gap there.
And he's also a man who, like, holds down an actual job as well. And apparently they have no problem with the hobo rape thicket.
Oh, absolutely. No, it's part of the presentation.
Well, so let's just back up and do all of this in order. Before we talk about the actual Pirate Festival, and
sure,
before we get to, apparently Dan has brought us some items from Comic-Con.
Indeed.
You were there at this last...
I wasn't, sadly. You know, I've actually got a buddy of mine that sent me up a care package from Comic-Con. It's, you know, kind of a wish you were here. Here's a bunch of crap that you probably would have bought if you were at Comic-Con. So here, now you can have it at home.
So tell me a bit about... because you were... When you and I first met, you and I first met because of the Joker cake.
Right. So my initial claim to fame was the fact that I found a cell phone and a cake in Beaverton.
And so if you guys were listening to the show, this was some years ago now, I guess 2 years ago maybe, when they were doing all that viral stuff for The Dark Knight, and we get this phone call from a guy, and, you know, and he's like, hey, and so I've been following all the Dark Knight stuff online, and my friend and I just went to a bakery, and we found a Joker cake, and we think there's a cell phone inside of it. It's awesome! And I was like, you have to come to the studio, like, now. Like, this instant. You have to do a run. And so there's this great photograph that I think is actually maybe on my Facebook page. I'm not sure about that. But it's you, Aaron, Sarah, and myself, and maybe Tim, and we're all in the kitchen reading, like, the Gotham News or the Gotham Picayune or whatever it is.
Right, the Gotham Times.
And because that was all stuff that was inside the Joker cake.
Right.
And you and your friend had gone to the bakery and you'd found it, and there was a cell phone number written in icing on top of the cake. You'd called the number, and then, this is the best phrase ever, as you put it, and then the cake started ringing. And then you opened the cake, and there was a cell phone inside the cake that was presumably that of the Joker?
Exactly. So the Joker, the deal was, as part of the, you know, the Dark Knight viral marketing thing, was the Joker was trying to recruit goons or henchmen. And so that was how you qualified, was that you found this cake in cell phones, you know, kind of across the country. I think it was maybe 25 of them at the time, you know, across the United States. And, you know, there was one in Portland, and I found the one. There was a bunch of clues. You had to, you know, figure out where the bakery was,
right,
and all these things. And be the first person there and say, I'm here for the cake that has the phone or from the Joker. And they had this cake that had clowns painted on it, of course.
You know. And did they even know what you were talking about when you went in there? Like, had Warner Brothers, whoever, contacted them, or did they just know that they had a cake waiting for somebody who would be asking for? Like, did they think it was just a regular...
Well, no, they actually... So I don't even think they knew what it was related to, but they knew that somebody had called them up and say, so we're going to send you a package that has a cell phone in it, and inside... The cell phone is going to be inside of an evidence bag. And what we want you to do is bake this inside of a cake. And then somebody's going to come pick this up at some point. And, of course, you know, being that this is a righteous town, they said, absolutely, no problem, as long as you pay in advance.
Which bakery was this?
This was, gosh, I can't remember. It's on the west side, almost into Beaverton, right down the west slope. It's just a little mom-and-pop bakery, yeah.
And so that was kind of our introduction to Dan. And you, at the time, were working at a site where you reviewed a lot of collectibles, and what are you up to these days when you're not pirate festivaling?
I sell computers.
And so you've remained in the geek realm.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, I've got my interests are vast and deep. So what initially started as just an emphatic following of the Dark Knight viral marketing kind of worked its way into toy collecting, and now I dress as a pirate 3 days a week. So.
It's a good life.
There are worse things to do on a Tuesday afternoon, I guess.
I'm not sure if you were in the Things from Another World commercial that ran, the one that I was in where I'm standing at the cash register talking to Aaron. And I think, now I may be wrong about this, are you in the new spot as well, the new Things from Another World commercial?
Is this the one with the Alter Ego Society?
Yeah, see, and I'm not even really sure how much I'm supposed to say about it. I don't know if they're, I don't know if it's done or if I'm allowed to sort of give away any of the details. I don't know if they want to spring it on people. So I guess you should be a little vague about it. But so you were there for the shoot?
I was there for the shoot, and I was there kind of as an inside joke.
I saw some of the raw footage that Things from Another World filmed for their latest commercial, because it's going to be airing in the CW, which is, of course, where Outlook Portland airs. And it is, I should have to say, it is pretty glorious. I mean, it's just... It's like one of those crossover episodes of a television series where they just try to get as many cameos and as many references in as possible.
Right.
It's pretty fantastic.
Yeah.
So we'll talk more about that, I guess, maybe in a few weeks when the commercial is actually airing. Tell us about the Pirate Festival 2010. When, where, why, how, what?
Indeed. So it's actually the 5th annual Portland Pirate Festival. It's this weekend, September 18th and 19th in Cathedral Park, which is right underneath the St. John's Bridge. And we are, it's the 5th year we've done the Portland Pirate Festival, and we're basically bringing out all the pirates again, rain or shine. On Saturday, the 18th, we're having the, and this seems fairly odd when we were trying to come up with a shtick and idea to do, you know, make the big headline event for Saturday. We had the idea, well, how about we do just a beard and mustache competition? Because there was that big event down in Bend, Oregon that was the big national event. It was on ESPN. And come to find out, Portland has never had a competitive beard and mustache event.
Huh. That surprises me.
It surprised me as well.
There's so many questions battling in front of the line inside my head. Well, first of all, what was the event in Eugene?
So the Eugene was the Beard Team USA National Championships.
What is this like? Is this just something they're creating as a contest so Will Ferrell can make a movie of it?
I don't know. I know that it probably had close to 1,000 competitors.
Did the winner get to go to Germany for the giant mustache?
No, they got cash. It was like $1,000 a person or $1,000 a category if you won this.
How do you compete in a beard contest?
You grow a beard and show up and display your beard.
So it's a purely aesthetic. Sort of thing.
It's all about presentation.
Do they have the longest beard, or is it about the most interesting? In other words, are there separate classes?
Oh, absolutely.
Like so, thickness and bushiness?
So it's separated. You have beards, and then you have mustaches. And then within the beard and mustache categories, there are different types. So there's the Fu Manchu, there's the Musketeer. In the beard category, there is the Alaskan Whaler, which is my personal favorite, which is basically the full beard sans mustache.
All right. Okay.
My poor husband, who can't grow facial hair to save his life, is like so jealous of that sort of thing. He wishes he could grow something.
Let me ask you this, though. Are you glad that he can't? I mean, how would you feel about... I mean, not that there's anything wrong. So you make the beard work, Dan. You've got the full... I mean, you really... maybe it's just because I've seen you with it for a long time now, so it's like...
You're used to it, I think is what it is.
Maybe, but I mean, it's, you know, but I'll, you know, but you just, you know, some guys work with the beard and some guys don't. Like, I don't work... Like, I tried to do the facial hair thing. Like, just... And really, for no reason, just to prove to myself that I could. Like, it was all like, well, I wonder if I'm old enough. You know, because, you know, guys get, like, facial hair starts to come in. But then for some guys, I think it reaches a point where it stops thickening. Like, you can only grow it so thick. But then later, it just switches on again, and you can sort of, like, you have more of it. So I was like, well, I wonder if I can grow a beard now. I'll try. And then I did, and I thought, well, I can. And it looks hideous. And then I just shaved it off as soon as I knew I could do it. Do you wish they could do it? How would you feel if he had one?
I don't know. My first husband was a bearded man, and I was, you know, okay with it. You know, I was married to him. With Patrick, I don't know. I mean, the thing is, I understand, because if I was a guy, I would totally always be trying to, like, grow facial hair, because I wouldn't be able to help myself. I'd want to have some kind of, like, a mustache, and I'd probably make it all twirly or something.
Well,
you know. But Patrick can only, and he does the same thing. Every once in a while, he'll just let it grow.
Well, Don, this is the year. I think I'm going to be able to grow facial hair.
Anytime. This is it. I'm sure that it's kicked in. I'm sure the hormones have down. And the best he's ever able to do, as I've mentioned before, is it's like sort of like Shaggy on Scooby-Doo, where he just has some scraggly stuff out of his chin and some little pokey things out of his upper lip. And
yeah, the patchy beard is the worst.
It's unpleasant.
Yeah, the patchy beard is true.
Now, and the other thing about, and so you don't have this problem, Dan, but, you know, if you're me, you get that thing where you let the, if I go like a day or two without shaving, and I'm kind of a compulsive shaver. I try to be very, you know, like smooth and whatever all the time, but that's partially because if I don't, like, if I skip a day, suddenly it starts to come in and it's all just gray, and that's, you know, unfortunately, and I don't actually have to my knowledge anyway, I don't think I have any gray hair, like, I don't think I have any gray hair elsewhere on top of my head or, you know, whatever, but the facial hair, for some reason, it's like that is like the facial hair is like the it's like the black ink in the toner, you know, like in the ink cartridge, where it's like you've got green and purple ink like forever. the black is the first to go. Right here, I'm just understocked with melanin or whatever it is like on my face. So I don't want to be reminded of the passage of time.
It's bizarre when I grow my beard out in the middle of the summer when it's really hot. If I'm outside a lot, it'll turn red. So my beard turns like a dark amber in the sun.
That's bizarre. So it's like a mood beard.
Yeah, well,
you have angered Dan Clark, and then it just starts to glow.
That's right.
Do you find yourself? I hate to be dwelling on the beard thing.
That's
we'll get back to Pirate Festival.
When he was on my show, Ham Fisted Radio, over on PDX, we spent probably the first half of the show just talking about the beard.
Do you get tired of people asking you about? We should put a picture of it up. I'll with my magical otherworldly iPhone. I'll get a picture in a second. I'll put it up. But do you get tired of people talking to you about the beard? Where like, when you start a conversation, in the back of your head, you're like, all right, here we go. Beard questions. 3, 2, 1. No, I've had it for about a year and a half. It's just facial hair. I mean, do you get weary of this?
Well, you know, it's kind of bizarre because really the only time that people come and approach me and talk to me about, well, your facial hair is huge and full, is when I'm dressed as a pirate, and I kind of expect that anyway. But it was, for the longest time, every once in a while you get a guy in a bar or grocery store, it's like, wow, I love your beard. I can't grow a beard like that. And I thought, well, that's kind of an odd conversation for somebody to come up and talk to you in a grocery store. And then I started hanging out with the guys who were doing the beard competition, and it was like, it was the same conversation that everybody was having. It's like, you know what I hate? People coming up to me in public and asking me about my beard. It's like, you get that too? That's amazing. drunk chicks coming up and twirling the mustache.
There it is
or whatever.
Again. Somebody in the text box said that it might be your phone updating.
Oh, or is my phone vibrating, perhaps?
Or something, and then it's sitting close
vibrate.
To the computer. So.
Yeah, I'm going to put... Somebody else claimed it was your jitterbug. We've got
it
this...
It might have been
which
my
isn't
jitterbug.
Like a sexual code for anything.
it's always a euphemism.
But. Hey, baby, how your jitterbug? We got this...
My jitterbug is vibrating. Because of Dan Clark's beard.
Let me see if I can...
It's growing now.
My phone is doing anything. Well, I did just get a little update thing on here. You know, the only problem with this iPhone, it's really a problem with the iPhone's owner, is that, like a lot of phones, it goes to sleep, and then, you have to put the password in to wake it up. But the password, one of the buttons for my password code is right next to the button, which I think they're legally required to have, that says, like, make emergency call. Because I think you have to be able to call the cops on any cell phone, like if you absolutely need to.
Yeah, whether, even without a SIM card, you can call 911. Yeah,
whether or not it's locked. And so when I go to the like enter passcode thing, it's like there's the big emergency, which I always hit. And on my BlackBerry, I had it too. And I very nearly, many, many times, I very nearly like made an emergency call, which is a thing I live in fear of. I did that accidentally once when I was like 19. My girlfriend and I were trying to call somebody or other, and I don't know. I forget how it happened. The phone was next to the bed, and she was trying to call us, but she ended up like pressing 0 or 911 or one of the presets on the phone, maybe. And then it was like the preset for like, call paramedic. And then she just hung up the phone and didn't think anything of it. And I swear to God, like 6 minutes later, like guys were kicking in the front door, like, trying to get in. And I'm like, I thought they were going to like bill us for it. So I got to stay away from that.
I don't want to keep getting onto the phone thing, though. But I did want to mention this is one of these things that's been rattling around in my head. We received our big paychecks here at the Emerson News Network today. And I got to say, we've had a fairly successful month. We're doing well, here at the Emerson News Network. I got a little bit more than I was
getting
expecting.
Getting some traction, as they say.
Yeah, and I got actually considerably more than I was expecting. And because we're healthy. And my first thought, of course, is like, woohoo, this is great. Pay those bills. And then my next thought was, since this is more than I thought, I can get that iPhone now.
Yeah.
The next first thing, I just go out and get that iPhone. And I thought, going to have that conversation with my husband now.
Well, I mean, I don't know how much you're paying now. None of my business or your cell phone costs now, but it can't be a lot because it's like a pay-as-you-go. In fact, you're not paying anything now because you put money on it as you need, right?
Yeah.
So,
but I mean, I have to buy the iPhone and then pay the setup costs and, all that sort of thing. So,
I'll just skip to the, by the way, this text says, Rick, I'm wincing every time you say hobo rape thicket. all right. So Pirate Festival, the 5th annual Pirate Festival is happening this weekend. And I have to say, actually, that a couple years ago, maybe it was 2008, I think, Laura and I were at this place called I think it's called Madison's, and it's I think it actually just might be on Madison Street. But anyway, we were there, and we were just having lunch or something, and I had not been aware that that day was when the Pirate Festival was happening. And I ran into our friend Lisa, who was there with her her man and their kid. And the kid was like five or something, and he had like an eye patch. And I thought it was just like I didn't think anything sort of unpleasant had happened. I thought the kid was just being a little roguish, you know? Like, you know, even at that young age, he had like sort of a rakish approach to life, you know? And he couldn't afford like a bowler to tilt on his head. And he's like, I'm going to wear an eye patch.
I'm going to be the Arrow shirt man. You know, not even considering he has no idea who that is.
I'm going to be Archangel from Airwolf. And I said, hey there, Lincoln, what's up with the patch? And he's just like, I'm going to Pirate Festival. And I think I had not put together that was the day it was happening. And it was one of those great, like, Portland is awesome moments.
Wouldn't you have felt bad if he said something like, I lost my eye.
I was shot with an arrow. Yeah. I would have, Don. Why do you have to make everything dark?
I put out my eye with a stick, Uncle Rick.
There was no need to take it in such an unpleasant direction. For people who are there, wondering like what happens? Should I take my kid? Is it in fact fun for the whole family? What can they expect at Pirate Festival, the fifth annual?
Dan? Indeed, it really is kind of designed to be a family experience, and not entirely just a family experience, but there's plenty of stuff for kids. We've got the big bouncies and all that stuff. A lot of interaction things where you can come down and take lots of photos. There's a guy that brings down. He runs a bird rescue, an exotic animal or exotic bird rescue. Mm-hmm. So he brings a bunch of parrots down, and so he'll put the parrots on kids' shoulders and stuff, and you can take photos. There are no end of sword fighting and cannon shows. So we actually fire cannons across the Willamette River on the beaches.
Awesome.
There. Do all kinds of sword fighting. It's pirate music. We've got a band coming down from Vancouver City, BC, on Saturday night called the Dreadnoughts. And they're essentially kind of a pirate punk band. And for lack of a better comparison, they're a cross between Flogging Molly and the Dropkick Murphys.
So when did this can't just be because of the Pirates of the Caribbean thing. Because there's like a pirate renaissance happening over But has it been, is it just within the last 7 or 8 years that it's really kicked up, or is that my imagination?
Well, I think that the penchant for dressing up and going out in public, especially in this town, is something that's always been around. I think the Pirates of the Caribbean movies, the Disney movies, made it socially acceptable. But you see pirates and zombies in Portland just about every weekend. So this is kind of the great pirate prom, as it were.
Don asked, and then like several people, I suspect, who were projecting a little bit of self-loathing, asked via the text box, well, why is the Pirate Festival okay and Wren festivals are dumb? There has to be the difference between the Pirate Festival and then the Wren Fair, which is a thing that I just... And Renaissance festivals have just been like a whipping boy in my mind for years and years, like way out of proportion. And I'll totally admit that I have no rational reason. It's like I just singled out Wren Fairs early on. I think...
They are deeply silly. Why not make fun of them? They are just ludicrous.
I mean, look, and I'm like, and I'm a big drama nerd, or I was anyway, so it's not like, I'm somehow better than Wren festivals, that I'm somehow in a position to be like lording my social superiority over them. I think that's not true. Never mind. Anyway, I was just, Doesn't really matter.
I think with pirates, they came to kind of prominence, at least as a cultural meme, because of the Disney movies.
Right.
And that's one thing that made them socially acceptable. Now,
there's Johnny Depp, for God's sake.
Well, I mean, you've got a bunch of guys who basically are Wren Fair guys that are now dressing as pirates coming out and doing this. So it's the same shtick. It's the same kind of atmosphere. But, you can also make an extra $50 off of, families that want to come down and be a pirate for a day.
Well, there you go. And see, and what could be more pirate-like than that?
Indeed.
And I think the conclusion I came to, I actually think this is what I do with my free time when I'm trying to, when other people are trying to go to sleep by thinking about, sheep or, whatever, doing some Zen exercise to achieve a state of mellowness before bed. I'm lying there staring at the ceiling wondering, why do I hate Renaissance fairs but not the Pirate Festival? What is wrong with me? And the conclusion I came to is that here's the thing. Here's why I think the Pirate Festival is sort of great, because even though it isn't all, it's fun for the whole family and it is suitable for children of all ages from 8 to 80. I do think that there's something kind of great about the fact that you have an entire family-friendly festival, and especially one to which children are very attracted, that is, in effect, about being, like, the bad guy.
Right.
I mean, pirates are villains.
Celebrating murderers, rapists, and thieves.
It's like if you had two festivals across the street from one another. Well, what is this? Well, this festival is this is just, you know, like the Luke Skywalker festival. What is this? Well, this is just Darth World. Well, where are you going to go? You're going to go to Darth World because that's way more fun than Luke Land.
Well, a long, long time ago, back when I was doing attempting to do stand-up comedy, I actually had a section of my act where I did a bit on the Pirates of the Caribbean ride at Disneyland, and this was back before the movies and before stuff. And it was based on the actual truth, where I had gone to Disneyland pretty much at least once a year or more my entire life since I was a little kid. And at some point in my 20s, I rode on the Pirates of the Caribbean ride and all of a sudden realized it was horrible. It was just horrible. That you go into the town and they've got the mayor and they're dunking him in the well because they're torturing him. You've got the women for sale. It's like white slavery. You got the pirates who are chasing the women around in circles. And it's like, because they want to rape them. It's not because they're going to like ask them out to dinner or something. They're planning to rape them. And I was just, and it's like, they're singing the song and everyone's bringing their kids through on the boats. And I, for the first time, it really occurred to me, oh my God, this is horrible.
Yeah, I remember my dad talking about, you know, when I was a boy, I used to love to go to Disneyland, and I love that Pirates of the Caribbean ride. We'll have to go there someday. And then I eventually did end up going. My uncle took me at one point, and I remember going through the Pirates of the Caribbean ride, and I was like maybe 11 or 12, old enough to know, I maybe just see a little bit of that that subtext, but then seeing the thing where they're chasing, you know, the maiden or whatever, right? And it wasn't, as you said, it wasn't, wouldst thou attend the spring formal with me? I mean, it was very much like, you know, you hold her arms.
And there's the guys that are trapped in the dungeon, in the jail cell, yeah. And they're trying to get using the bone to try to get the dog to give them the key, because they're going to burn to death.
Yeah.
The town is on fire, and they're trapped in a jail cell. They are going to burn to death.
And see, that's why, as hokey as that ride sort of is, because it is very, it is like you're looking at one of like the, like a clock where the bird comes out and spins around and then goes toot and goes back in. I mean, it's like, that's the level of animatronic you're talking about. But I think the sort of sinister, creepy underpinnings of it are sort of great. And that's kind of why I like, it's like the thing with Count Chocula. When you think about how Count Chocula is in fact based on Bram Stoker's Dracula, which is based on Vlad Dracul, who like put people on stakes and lit them on fire. And in fact, on the road in Romania, the road to his castle was lined like telephone poles with guys who were stuck on stakes, just sort of going like, ow, ow, in the sun. And now it's a breakfast cereal, which is awesome. I mean, because you can't warp kids like outright. Like you can't just get a kid in a chair. I mean, it could, I suppose, and just lecture him about people on spikes, because that's the sort of thing that they put you in a small room, you know, like forever if you do that. But you know, so you go in the back way with the breakfast cereal. That's all I'm saying. So not that's going to be happening at Pirate Festival.
Well, no. Well, that entire argument was kind of the best thing I've heard to get people to come to the Portland Pirate Festival that I've ever heard. So it's well done.
Yeah. all right. So people want to find out more about this. How do they do that?
You go to PortlandPirateFestival.com. And one thing I did want to say is on Sunday is the day that Portland, Oregon's trying to reclaim the Guinness World Record. So last year we actually set the Guinness World Record for the largest gathering of pirates,
which is how many people?
Last year when we set the record, it was 1,672. The record's been broken three times since then, all by, once by the English, once by the Germans.
And damn
the
English.
Again by the bloody Brits. And so Portland still remains the only United States town that's ever actually owned the Guinness World Record. So we're trying to reclaim it. We actually need to shoot for about 7,000 pirates.
Oh my
on
God.
Sunday.
No, that's a lot of pirates.
You know, the thing is that if not this year, then in a year not too far away, that will be done.
How do you qualify someone as a pirate for this thing? Like, if you just like pass out a whole lot of eye patches?
Well, and actually that's what we're going to do. So you actually have to, according to Guinness proper, you have to wear a certain number of specific items to be a pirate. You have to wear some sort of a pirate headgear, a bandana, or a hat. You have to have an eye patch, which is bizarre because no one ever wears eye patches. Some sort of a pirate accessory. It could be a sword, a parrot, a wench with a tankard, doesn't matter. And then some sort of a pirate.
A wench with a tankard counts as an accessory?
If you're holding there, then absolutely.
Okay.
I mean, she could be on your shoulders. I don't know.
Now, does the wench herself count as a pirate herself?
She counts as two-thirds of a pirate.
I didn't say that. It was Rick Emerson that said that.
I'm sorry. All right. So
all this stuff is on the PortlandPirateFestival.com on the website.
Excellent. Hey, while you're here, would you like to watch some clown porn?
Well, would I?
I almost didn't feel like I was even required to ask because it's such a given.
Right.
So in a moment, we're going to treat you.
Is this like another video rodeo kind of a thing?
It's not like a video rodeo.
I think it sort of is a
video rodeo. We'll get to that. We have Stupid Criminal of the Week coming up, and then we'll end the day with some snack foods. Before we do that, though,
I brought swag. It's actually not pirate swag either, which is kind of bizarre. But
So this is from this last Comic-Con that happened. This is Comic-Con 2010.
Indeed. I just want to share, by the way, you asked him if he wanted to watch the clown porn. Someone in the text box shared, he's a pirate. Of course he would.
There will not be clown porn at the Portland Pirate Festival.
Not this year.
There might be.
That's only if you don't break the record. Then you really have to pull out the heavy guns. All right. So I have actually not looked at these. I don't know what they are. Now, are these things that your friend obtained or that you...
Yeah, indeed. So I got sent a San Diego Comic-Con care package. If you go to San Diego Comic-Con, there's all manner of exclusive and giveaway and all kinds of free crap that they give you. And so this was in that. And I thought, well, this really is you are a far more suitable owner for these than I am.
All right. So, Don, I'm gonna pass these over, and I'll have you look at one, and I will look at the other.
Okay.
So I've averted my eyes. All right, you should go first.
Oh my God, this is awesome! It's a Twilight Zone Talking Tina action figure.
You bitch, really?
Yes.
Hold on, what is mine? Oh, hey, I've got the. So this is the evil ventriloquist dummy.
It's Eddie or Willie. Yeah, Willie.
Yeah, this is.
Wow.
Okay, I gotta calm myself down. Here's the thing:
This is a Comic-Con exclusive toy.
I'm a huge Twilight Zone fan. So apparently, they have a series of six of these. There is Willy the Talking Dummy. There's the Devil, by the way, from an episode starring William Shatner.
Oh, there's the Gremlin from Nightmare at 20,000 Feet.
So let's see. There's Talkie Tina, who is voiced by anyone? June Foray. The Canimit, which is from the episode that gets parodied all the time, which is the It's a Cookbook! Gremlin, which is from Nightmare at 20,000 Feet with Shatner. Jason Foster from the Masks episode. The Devil, which is from another... William Shatner was on Twilight Zone, I think, three times, from an episode called Nick of Time.
Actually, it's called The Howling Man.
Yeah, Nick of Time was the Mystic Seer box.
Right, but isn't that with the Devil?
Yeah, a little devil head on top of it. Yeah.
Oh, wait, so which devil...
This is apparently a different devil.
This is from The Howling Man.
The Howling Man, okay, The Howling Man... is an episode where it takes place in a castle where there's a guy who seeks shelter from the rain, and they warn him, you know, like, there's a crazy guy in the basement, don't let him out. And then he lets him out because he feels pity, and then it turns out that he's the devil himself, and he starts World War II, and it's a terrible episode, but the makeup is really, really great. So, awesome. These are fantastic. Dude, you are the coolest person who's ever lived.
Well, and I brought them in, partially because I figured you would appreciate them, and partially because my daughter, who is 10 years old and who I subjected the Talkie Tina episode to when she was 8 because I'm a horrible parent, saw them and screamed and said that she demanded that they get out of the house. So the Talkie Tina will not be living in my house. It will be living in your studio.
Here's the thing is that I am such a freak for the Twilight Zone that we did this whole show, I don't know, about a year ago or 2 years ago, something like that. Well, we just were trying to figure out why someone hadn't made a Talkie Tina doll. And I was like, that would totally sell.
Oh, totally.
And we played this whole montage of, you know, because the episode is where Telly Savalas' daughter has this doll that says things like, I'm talking Tina and I love you. Except when Telly Savalas pulls the string. And that's where she says things like, I'm going to kill you. And at the end, she does because she's on the stairs and he trips and dies and whatever. That's fantastic. Dude, you... now I feel bad we're going to make you watch the clown porn.
And Cheryl is annoyed because she says she booked him and we're getting, like, the prizes, so...
And really, clown porn is its own reward. Apparently,
it's, you know. So. All right. Well, let's without further ado here, and then we will get to Stupid Criminal of the Week and so forth. There's no really no way to set up the clown porn except to say that
it's clown porn.
I don't even now remember how we got onto the subject. I think we were just noting that Dawn has this
even
whole fear.
Even the pause screen is disturbing. I have no idea what's going on.
That I have this terror of clowns. I'm actually coulrophobic. And I'm not so bad watching them in movies and such because they're not actually, you know, in the room with me. As I've said, it's the difference between watching a movie about a serial killer and being in the room with an actual serial killer. You know, one, you go, oh, I'm really uncomfortable. The other, you would pee yourself. You know,
I'm not exactly afraid of clowns, but I will admit the killer clowns from outer space, when I watched it when I was very young did disturb me for a long time, and it's still one of the movies that I don't actively go out and try to watch.
Especially there's that
because it's horrifying.
And there's that sequence like when the girl's in the fast food restaurant and the clown is outside on the other side of the glass and he's doing that finger curling come here thing. It's like
yes.
the creepiest
for
scene ever.
When they were wrapped up in the cotton candy and he was shoving the straws
into them, drinking the blood out of it.
Yes. So I found this scene. This is with the clown. I'm really not sure exactly what's going on. At the very beginning of this, there's a sort of a Barbarella-looking like girl in a plexiglass dome, and the clown wants very much
so
to...
So this is futuristic clown porn,
yes.
is what you're saying.
So the clown wants very much... I haven't listened to any of the audio, so I'm not sure why she's in a glass dome, but the clown wants very much to get at the girl... in the glass dome.
So we should thank our listener, Charles, for sending this, because he emailed and he's just like, hey, I've got all this clown porn sitting around my house and I'm not really watching it.
Now the clown is on top of the plexiglass dome. He's trying to hump her.
Now he's trying to hump the dome.
Hold on. So now, but I think it's become really clear why he didn't want
to. Is he honking his own nose?
I think I now know why he didn't want the clown porn in his house. Why he was eager to get rid of it.
Okay.
So this is like a woman, you know, she's like in one of those hamster balls, you know, that your gerbil runs around the house in. There is a full-on clown, wig, nose, face paint, the whole polka dotty outfit, the big pants, the everything. He's not even really having relations with her. He's just humping the glass-like hamster ball in which this blonde woman... Good Lord.
Well, and I think she's actually into it, too. I don't...
Yeah, she's... now he's licking the hamster ball.
And he's in this big... Okay, so they're in, like, a big room with white walls with big pink polka dots. Not unlike the video for How Will I Know by Whitney Houston.
Yeah.
And... Okay, the clown is dry humping. There's no other way to... You have to go back and mic the audio.
She's crying.
Was that her crying or was that the clown laughing? I couldn't quite tell.
Or is the clown now crying?
I think we need to avoid the audio as much as... He's sad.
Jesus.
Well, of course he's sad. She's in a glass ball. He can't...
Did he just give up and walk away?
Now he's sad. Now he's sitting in the big pink polka dot chair and he's sad.
I think we should have this running when Greg and Sarah come in to have Triscuits. Just sort of in the background.
Now the clown is weeping. Oh, she got out of the
thing.
Oh,
she gets out on her own.
She's going to comfort him.
Right,
she's okay.
She feels sorry because he's a sad clown.
He needs to be cheered up.
That's it. She's going to try and make... God, he is a creepy, scary clown.
Okay, but here's the thing, Don. He is... I was a little bit unnerved, and not just in the way you might expect. He's licking her thigh. And he's speaking in what sounds very much like a little girl voice.
He actually sounds kind of like Talkie Tina right now.
When I looked at the box, I was thinking, well, this isn't, these aren't real clowns. These are budget. These are pseudo clowns. He's a real clown.
No. This is a guy who could not get work in a circus and so has started to do porn.
He's like that drunk guy in Uncle Buck. I have been providing quality children's entertainment for 15 years. This is sort of like if Shakes the Clown were having like really angry sex with someone.
And she just thinks this is the best bloody thing.
And he keeps talking to the camera. Yeah. Like, he's looking at me, and he's talking to me.
I never expect my porn to break the fourth wall. I think that's even more disturbing than seeing the clown. The clown is talking directly to us.
How else can he capture your soul?
It's horrifying.
Now he's...
Okay.
Wow. Okay, the woman... Nobody's even really new to this point as such... But she is, the woman is reaching back and she is touching his clown member through his big clown pant, through his hammer pants that he's wearing.
And she's providing the sound effects as well.
And she was grabbing his area, which was fully engorged, apparently, through his big, like, genie pants. And she's squeezing it and just saying, honk, honk.
Now it just becomes porn.
See, now he's apparently, he's got like the little flap in the front of his pants apparently, because the pants are still on, but the clown, the little clown has left the car.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Okay. Yeah, see, now this is kind of weird because now we're watching her do this to him from the clown's point of view. So this puts me, the viewer, in the perspective of being the clown.
So now the clown is receiving oral attention from the lady. So when you think about it, which is sort of weird, Dawn.
Okay, see there. There's the shot where we see clown and...
Oh, God.
So you know what this is like, Dawn? This is sort of like the clown is getting back into the little car over and over again. A lot of clown is getting into the little car. I'd say 12 or 13.
I'm intensely uncomfortable.
And yet you continue to watch.
Jesus. I can't stop watching.
You know, you can't shut your eyes, Don. That's cheating. If you, it's not fair to the rest of us if you were, if you're averting your eyes.
See, it's the wide shots that I don't approve of. You know, it's like when you get up really close, it just becomes porn.
Okay,
see, but if you get back,
you pan back,
see,
like, oh god,
he's a clown.
Now this is what I was talking about. I told this story about the first time I saw clown porn, which is a weird thing to say, I know, but I had at one point this videotape that was just it was like 2 hours of just various scenes. It was like somebody gone through and just cut out the plot and stitched the sex scenes like together into like a big. I was like 18. It was my best value at the time, dollar for dollar. And so it's just like all of these scenes stitched together without the plot. And so it would just jump, like a scene would end, and then it would jump real quickly to a scene from some other movie. It's just a big compilation. And
They know this is for like clown fetishes too, because now we're like from her point of view, and he was just looking down at us and making icky faces.
See, putting you in the position of being the woman who is pleasuring
exactly.
The clown. Exactly. Pleasure the clown. Pleasure the clown would be my porn name, by the way. But in this compilation video, it's like all this normal, you know, the usual Ron Jeremy and, you know, whatever, and just normal sex. And then there's a tight shot of like a male member being attended to by a woman. So you see her head and his unit. And it's the act taking place in a bathtub. But the camera is slowly pulling back. And then it pulls back enough that you realize that he's a goddamn clown.
Jesus. Oh, God. It's the big shoes. And
oh, he is. Well, he is wearing the shoes.
Oh, wow.
God.
Okay, so now the clown is sitting in his clown throne, like on a chair, in his clown room, and she is doing what I believe the kids call a reverse cowgirl, but he's sitting up. He's not lying on his back. And they pull back, and he's sitting in the chair, and he's got the huge clown shoes on, which yeah. I think comes as no surprise, given what we just saw. Am I right?
Can I make this
Hello?
Go away now?
Yeah, please.
Can I please make this
right,
stop
there we
now?
Go.
I mean, if you wanted to get the most for your entertainment dollar, you know, she would be positioning herself on the shoes and squeaking, you know.
Yeah.
Back, you know.
Wow. Okay.
Well, that was horrifying. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for joining us, Dan Clark. I'm glad you could be here. All right.
Yar. Yeah, come see Pirates. We're vastly less horrifying than the clowns.
Even the Talking Tina thing isn't creeping me out anymore. what is the website once again for Pirate Festival?
PortlandPirateFestival.com. You can actually right now, up until tomorrow morning, pick up advance tickets for $12, which is $3 cheaper than the gate. You can pre-register for the Guinness World Record attempt, which is Sunday, September 19th, which is also International Talk Like a Pirate Day.
Awesome.
And then you can also pre-register for the first annual Portland Beard and Mustache Competition.
Awesome. PortlandPirateFestival.com.
Yar.
The website. Dan Clark, thank you, my friend. Appreciate
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
It is the Rick Emerson Program. I'll do a little thing. Come back on the other side of this. We Stupid Criminal of the Week. And how's your appetite over there?
It's great.
Ready for some soft,
yeah,
spreadable
good.
Cheese? Excellent.
Good.
Fantastic. That's all in the way. You're listening to the Rick Emerson Radio Program right here on the Emerson Turning off my mic, my own mic there, on the Emerson News Network. Stay there. We are back after this. Don't go anywhere.
Yeah. shore gets funky. Skirt, chasing free, basing, killing every village. We drink and roar and run and pillage. Most villain is me, boy. I got that village. I am most ill, and I'm robbing and stealing.
It is the Rick Emerson Radio Program. It's 503-505-6964. How are you doing over there?
I'm okay.
Have you washed the clown away?
I went into the restroom here at Emerson News Network and splashed a little cold water on my face and kind of tried to shake the clown off.
The clown won't come off! I keep washing!
Wow.
I was going to say, get the taste of the clown out of your mouth.
I will say I do not regret having seen that, because now, again, this is something I can add to the list of experiences I've had in my life. I have seen clown porn.
The Rick Emerson Show continues to improve your life in ways almost beyond imagining, Don.
It's making me a richer, more interesting person.
It's part of making you a more rounded individual. That's one of the things we're aiming for. It's 503-505-6964. That was Dan Clark from the Pirate Festival, 5th Annual. You can find out more about that at PortlandPirateFestival.com. Greg Nibbler and Sarah X. Dillon joining us here in just a few minutes. So I don't know. I'm unclear about their level of experience with the exotic Triscuit flavors.
And I don't know, because you mentioned Triscuit and just a moment ago, and Greg was like, ooh, I love Triscuits.
Triscuits? Do I have time to use the bathroom? I don't think either of them. I would wager my bottom dollar they haven't had the spreadable cheese, the pub cheese, which is just like good beyond imagining. So we'll do Stupid Criminal of the Week here in just a moment, and then we will then we'll get to that whole section of the show. By the way, I figured out the deal, I think, with my phone, because there was that sort of buzzing sound, which hasn't happened in the past, you know. And so I figured, well, maybe it's the iPhone, because I just got that. So you know what the iPhone has actually is it has that airplane mode. Which is where it turns off basically the cell phone, like the message sending and receiving capability, so that you can use it without some tight-ass stewardess telling you you're going to crash the plane. So you can play Mahjong or whatever it is you do.
Yeah.
So I put it in airplane mode, and we'll see if that actually has the desired effect.
Is that the Wi-Fi mode? Because that's what somebody suggested.
Wi-Fi is something. Well, this does have Wi-Fi, but that's separate.
Somebody suggested if you just put it on Wi-Fi mode, you wouldn't have that problem.
Maybe. It's easier. There's just a big button that says airplane mode on and off. So I think that actually stops it from sending or receiving signals. So we will see if that is the desired effect. And this is all true. Big plans for your weekend, Don?
Not really. No, not really.
It just trailed off into a series of ellipses.
I have some writing that I need to do. I've decided that I'm going to be having a birthday party at my house, a small soiree with just people coming over and playing poker, really. But that also means that I'm going to have to make sure that my house is clean. So I'm going to, because I'm like really fussy about that when people come in, I have to start doing that this weekend.
Why, you know, if only there were some sort of a service that would would help you clean your abode, Dawn. If only there were a way that one could make cleaning a little bit easier so that one didn't have to stress out about certain areas of your home, which might pose a little bit of a challenge in terms of removing dirt or stains.
If only there was someone I could call to maybe help me get some of the dog smell out of my carpet before I have guests.
Is there really a lot of dog? I didn't notice that when I was at your place.
Well,
I have a dog, but you know, you would think I'd notice.
I had also actually borrowed a friend's home steam cleaner unit, and it steam cleaned the living room and the hall first, and it's been a full year since that was done.
You know, the thing about steam cleaning, though, is that's a tricky proposition. And this is another, seriously now, this is another reason to call Michael Beatty of the Cleaning Solution, one of our proud business partners, 971-533-3211. Boy, I got a lot of heartburn going on today. 971-533-3211. And you write that number down, you keep it, because here's the thing, sometimes you don't know when, you don't know when you're going to spill something, obviously. But, like with your birthday party, you knew your birthday was coming up, but you hadn't quite decided you were going to have people over. Sometimes, maybe, you're having somebody from work over, maybe the boss, because your husband's trying to win that big account and you've got to make your famous pot roast. Oh my God, but there's a stain on the carpet. Whatever will he think? And so, you realize out of the blue you got to get something taken care of.
Well, and you talk about the stains and the things that get dropped on the carpet. My problem is this, and a lot of people have this. I have a dog. We just went through the summer months and my dog would occasionally get itchy, and so she would lay on the floor and rub her head on the carpet. And now she's just rubbing dog stink into the carpet.
Okay, let me ask you this. What is up with that? The rubbing of the head into the carpet.
Does your dog do that too?
Yeah, but I mean, it's not like they just get itchy on their head?
I think it's just that, it feels good because it's either that or sit there and scratch at their ears with their hind legs.
See, I thought it was like Max has this whole thing. Now we're just turning this into a dog discussion, but as the vet put it, it's one of those things about, like when I refer to Philo as just being like one of God's special ed dogs.
Yeah.
One of the things about Max, who's, a prettier dog, I think, traditionally speaking, than Philo. He doesn't look quite as awkward, but he's just defective in lots of other ways. Like the vet was looking at his ears and she said, "Oh, he's got ears like sewers." That was her actual description. Because I guess they're just, they accumulate whatever, detritus. So I got to, put this stuff in to keep his ears clean or whatever. But occasionally he rubs the head on the ground, and I thought he was, trying to scratch his ears or something. But yeah, you're saying that that Bella does it, too.
Their heads, dogs just get itchy, just like people. It's like Bella does the thing, too, where she rolls over on her back and just starts wiggling, like, wiggle, 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 to scratch her back on the carpet.
I wonder if she would have learned that activity.
Shut up.
Who would have taught her that?
Shut up.
Is that only because she can't stand on her hind legs here in the studio?
Shut up.
Okay. You're like that Harry Potter dog that can walk upright in that sense, or you're just sort of up against one of the staples on the wall.
Yes, I'm just like that.
Dawn is just like the dog from Harry Potter in every way. I didn't really mean that in the sense that, skip it.
I hate you so much.
Well, I know. It's what gives us a charming interaction, Dawn. 971-533-3211 is the number for the Cleaning Solution. Mr. Michael Beatty is the owner and proprietor and a proud supporter of all the programming here at the Emerson News Network. 971-533-3211. 971-533-3211. You can clean carpet, upholstery, stone, marble tile, anything your feet might touch at your home or your office. Michael Beatty, 971-533-3211. All right. Before we do anything else, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show from Fun Employment Radio, funemployment.com. Sarah X. Dillon, Greg Nibbler. Hello there.
Hello.
Actually, it's funemploymentradio.com.
What did I just say?
Funemployment.com.
We wish we could get that.
Oh, yeah,
somebody snagged that from us.
Yeah, they had it a long time. They don't do anything with it either.
I'll take
really
that out.
Thank you for the surprise, letting us come on. We're really stoked.
What kind of person would I be if I had Triscuits and didn't share them?
Yes, I heard that you had some magical snacks that you wanted to sample.
They're awesome.
We do have snack foods.
Now, have you guys
ever... If you'd gotten here earlier, you could have seen the clown porn.
You were looking at that in the break room yesterday.
Yeah.
Did you actually watch it?
Oh, yeah. You don't want to.
Was disturbing. Even just the back cover was so disturbing.
Yeah. I'm actually kind of hugging myself a little bit now as I think about it. It's just.
I kind of want to see it. Is it still on there?
Go home and cry.
We can put it back on if you want. I don't think.
I don't think I want to watch it while I'm eating.
Well, I'll tell you what. We'll leave it here.
No, I was going to actually take it home with me to watch the other things on it because I wanted to see.
What other things?
Oh. Well, that clown scene we were watching, that is just one scene of many scenarios.
But it's all clown porn.
Well, it's clowns, but it's also guys in weird masks.
One of those is like a Clockwork Orange porn, though, thing.
Yeah.
One of those is like it's all the guys in boiler suits, like the Droog outfits, but then they have like painted faces. Like,
yeah, see, I need to take this home and study it for future discussion.
Now, are there lady clowns in this, or is this just guys dressed as clowns with ladies' pleasure?
No, it's creepy, weird guys and ladies.
Okay.
The one we just saw, the scene ended with, so the guy in the full-on... You know, it's like the hammer pants, but it's the full outfit.
Oh. Yes.
You know, the big book.
Is this the one on the back cover?
Yeah, yeah, it's like the big baggy, like, genie outfit. And then he's got rubber nose, white face paint, the big wig, and that's all we see at first. And the woman is... She's favoring him with a, you know, orally.
A mouth massage.
Yes, exactly. That's it. She's providing.
She's giving him a mouth hug.
Exactly.
She's kissing him very intimately.
And then they're doing it from his perspective. So it's like you're the clown, but then
you're looking down.
But then
at
they
the
do
girl?
It from her perspective. So it's like you're the woman, and it's like then you don't even know what's going on because you're like I'm the clown, I'm the woman, I'm the clown, I'm the woman. Ah, I'm crazy.
Does it say when it's from the clown perspective? Does it say like clown vision?
Clown cam.
And then they just cut to, he's in this huge room with these pink polka dots all over the walls, and it's all creepy. And then they cut to him sitting on like a clown throne, like it's this chair.
Oh, wow.
And so he's sitting in the throne, like, I'm a clown in a throne. And then they cut to her, and she is sitting on his lap, like, you know, facing away, like a reverse cowgirl thing. But she's sitting on his lap, and, you know, they're having the sex. But then they do the pullback, and he's got the huge clown shoes.
So he's completely dressed as a clown, except for what is needed to be exposed for her to be doing what
she's
doing.
Yeah, like he's not naked.
No, he's still completely a dressed clown, except for his member.
Do they play the clown music in the background?
There didn't seem to be clown music. But also, he keeps looking at the camera and talking in this creepy voice.
Oh,
my God.
I think it's creepier that he actually is clothed with just the one thing coming out, instead of him being in the clown face and
then
naked.
It's clown sex and not just,
Because we all see clowns, but then there's like an extra addition in the front, and that's not good.
And see, and I thought it was going to be like most porn, where it's like the plot gets discarded immediately, like, you know, I'm a plumber, you know, and he says just long enough, and then he takes off his tool belt, and he's not a plumber anymore, he's just the guy effing in the porn film.
Mm.
This guy's a clown all the way through.
Yeah.
He doesn't break character. He's on the entire time. He's a method effer.
By the way, someone in the text box mentions, you were talking earlier about your heartburn problem you've been having. He does mention that maybe you have heartburn because we keep eating snack foods, and then you stress yourself out watching clown porn.
Maybe, but I mean, if that's the price I must pay, then that's it. We all have our crosses to bear. What is coming up on Fun Employment Radio today?
Actually, we're having Kelly Clark on today. I think she was actually on your show earlier this week, right?
Fantastic. All the more reason to leave the clown porn behind at some point. But I understand. You know, the Patrick's going to come home and he's going to walk in and you'll be watching that and he's going to get the wrong idea.
Yeah.
And then later, during perhaps an intimate moment, he's going to reach down to the bed and just bring out a horn and
and I will just like jump 6 feet in the air.
I thought you were into this.
You should just dupe him and totally like pretend like you're into it. Just like have it on when he's coming home and just be watching him be like, hey, baby.
Oh.
Like that episode of Friends when what's her name thought that her... That Chandler was into shark porn.
Shark porn?
Sure. What is shark porn?
Just like that.
Well, what is shark porn?
Basically, the idea was she came to visit him. He was traveling for business a lot, and he was out of town. So she sprung a visit on him in his hotel room, and he had been watching the pay-per-view porn. He had settled in by himself because he thought he was going to be alone for the evening. He was watching the porn, and she came in and realized that he was... And he turned the TV... turned off the TV, and she realized what he'd been up to. And so then she goes, uh-huh, and turns on the TV to see what he was watching. And he had changed it over to, like, the Discovery Channel. It was Shark Week. So she thought he was pleasuring himself to shark documentaries.
Mm.
So she was a little disturbed by that. But at the same time, she thought, well, I have to, like, you know, give him what he wants. So she set up this whole evening of, like, you know, I got you something sexy. And he's like, okay. And then she turns on the TV and it's like sharks attacking things. And he's like, what the hell is wrong with you? She's like, what the hell is wrong with you?
But I never
did you see that story with the leg hanging out of that shark's mouth? Did you guys have that?
No.
I didn't get to that. It's in the stack.
It is messed up.
All right.
So scary.
Will you guys be getting to that today?
Yeah, well, if you guys have... No, I don't think we were going to... We were just
really?
Discussing
I don't
earlier.
Know. Yeah, whatever.
Well, if it
do.
Is the one I was thinking of, it could be a different
All right, well, let's do this. We'll go to the news desk.
Story.
We'll do the shark story, stupid criminal of the week, and then we'll bust out some snack food here before we clear out for the day. All right, ladies and gentlemen, at the news desk, this is
difficult.
Don Taylor.
It's a different
now,
shark leg story.
From the news desk, this is Don Taylor.
Well, let's do our stupid criminal of the week.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for stupid criminal of the week, brought to you by mugshotlist.com, covering 19 counties in Oregon, 13 states, including Florida, Georgia, Texas, and Ohio, always adding more counties and states. And, of course, a full membership there gets you full searchability. You can browse the mug shots by categories like county and gender, and you can view unlimited pages. And at the end of today's stupid criminal story, we will announce the winner of this week's giveaway of a full membership from mugshotlist.com. And without further ado, mugshotlist.com does present to you now, stupid criminal of the week.
Employees at a Massachusetts pharmacy opened for business Monday morning and found that someone had broken in during the night, stealing hundreds of dollars in cash and thousands of prescription pills. Police were called, conducted a routine investigation, and left. About an hour later, they were called again and asked to return when employees heard a cell phone ringing in the pharmacy's ceiling. An officer investigated. And I believe you have a little bit of audio from a policeman.
I do. So this is the report from the officer.
This is a police officer.
All right. So I'm going to try to play these two bits of audio at the same time. We'll see actually how this works out. All right. No, I'm gonna have to ditch the bed here. Hold on a second.
Okay.
All right. So this is the cop. This is actually the officer in question.
The
first thing that he noted was some red liquid that was cough syrup dripping down the wall. It was a bottle of cough syrup that had tipped over. So he knew that he was onto something.
About 4 hours into the investigation, they literally stumbled across the perpetrator. They found Ryan Gelineau, 17, semi-conscious in the crawl space. He had to be rescued by two police officers and two firefighters. Police believe Gelineau broke through the roof using a crowbar, stole medications, and then took them at the scene, including drinking about 2 pints of cough syrup that contained codeine.
So he couldn't even... This is like when you buy a thing of Wheat Thins and you start eating them before you even get to the register. Like, he couldn't... I'm going to steal all these drugs. I could take them later, or I could take them now at the crime scene. Oh, I'll take them now.
And then he passed out in the crawl space.
Well done, sir.
Gelineau had also hidden a duffel bag containing more than 100 pill bottles, 4 cartons of cigarettes, rope, and a mask. Police believe he shimmied up an outside pipe to get on the roof and used a hacksaw blade and crowbar to cut the hole. The blade and crowbar were recovered. They also recovered $320 in cash, which was returned to the pharmacy. Gelineau faces numerous felony charges, including breaking and entering, possession of burglar's tools, and larceny. He is under a doctor's care, and they say his mental state is fragile.
Awesome.
And so that makes Ryan Gelineau our stupid criminal.
Fantastic. His mental state is precarious, doctors say. But, I mean, 2 pints is a lot.
That is a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, a pint, I'm thinking of a pint of alcohol. I mean, that's substantial. And I think cough syrup, especially if it was at a pharmacy.
The kind with codeine.
Yeah, like, that's not like an over-the-counter thing. That'll knock you out.
Take, like, one spoonful of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that stuff knocks me out with one spoonful.
Oh, yeah.
I can't imagine doing 2 pints.
Yeah.
Yeah, this wasn't like he was semi-conscious and he said, hey, how you doing? He was semi-conscious, and they had to send firefighters up into the crawl space to remove him because he couldn't move his own limbs.
and his mental state is on the thinnest of sheets of ice at the moment.
That
is
one of the best phrases I've heard. Well, his mental state was fragile.
All right. That is our Stupid Criminal of the Week, brought to you by mugshotlist.com. Always adding more counties and states. And, of course, this week, as with every week, we are giving away a membership to mugshotlist.com. This week, it goes to Clifton Leverett. Clifton Leverett, you are the winner of a full membership to mugshotlist.com. Full membership gets you searching ability. You can browse through mugshots by category like county and gender, and you can view unlimited pages. So Clifton Leverett, you are the winner of this week's mugshotlist.com full membership as part of Stupid Criminal of the Week right here at the Emerson News Network. Huzzah! Excellent. All right. So we're here with Sarah X. Dillon and Greg Nibbler of FunEmploymentRadio.com. So you said Kelly Clark is coming up today. What other amusements have you for the people?
Of course, I'll be making my predictions for the football over the weekend.
No, yes, Greg and I are on a fantasy football team. Did we tell you this?
No. Has it gone well? I thought you were bad at picking things.
No.
He's
terrible at picking things. I'm 86% probably.
Whenever he's wrong, he's mildly incorrect, which means... So anytime that he actually predicts somebody to win, we actually get hate mail from people saying, damn you, Greg.
You're a team killer.
Yep. Many Colts fans are quite angry with me.
Because he
right
predicted
now.
The Colts to win the Super Bowl. We got all these emails from Colts fans. It's just like, why, Greg?
I think we've lost Indianapolis.
So is this like when you start loving a television program and that's why it gets canceled?
Yep.
Or something? All right.
Nice.
So really, if people could actually employ you then to root for their rival, like if they really wanted like the Jets or something to go, they could just put you on the pay to root for the Jets, thus ensuring that they would just go down in flames.
You could be like William H. Macy in that movie, The Cooler.
Just what I was going to say. Yeah, Vegas bookie should hire me as a cooler. I think I do quite well at it.
You really are. Like, I mean, I remember a few months ago, like you were opposite on every single thing that you predicted.
Fantastic.
It was pretty impressive.
You're like the George Costanza of sports predictions.
Yep.
Well done. All right. So Sarah has already opened her first Mickey's. I'm assuming it's your first Mickey's of the day.
It is my first Mickey's of the day.
I don't want to rashly assess. Have you guys, Dawn's already opened her snacks. Have you?
Well, I'm getting them ready so that, you know, to save time when we pass them about.
And I'm sorry, I didn't know we'd be on, Dawn. We would have totally bought you a Mickey's.
That's okay.
It just sort of occurred to us because we were running a little bit late today and we thought, well, you know, why should we hog all of the snack food wealth? Have you guys had any of the Triscuits that are not the regular flavors?
Yes.
I've had the rosemary ones.
Rosemary?
Yeah. I've tried about all of them, I think. Yeah. I haven't bought any Triscuits for a while, but I love Triscuits.
See, right. I have never had a flavor.
I do love Triscuits.
Dawn has never had anything but the regular flavor, and then there's like the low-salt kind, which are crap.
Why bother? Yeah.
And I think they made another one, too, that I think they discontinued. It was just like a wheat Triscuit. It was like a heartier, sort of like a really, it was like the O'Grady's of the Triscuit world. It was just sort of a thicker thing. Dawn has brought some chips with some crackers with baked gorgonzola.
And a little bowl. That's so cute.
See, these were in the little bowls were in the office, so that wasn't too, although we ran through.
Are these the gorgonzola crackers
here? What I'm doing right now, because we were chatting and I was explaining that, when I eat snack foods, I don't eat a lot of salty snacks, and when I do, I tend to go for the fancier ones. So.
Oh, see, I love goldfish crackers.
No, these are the onion and chive seeded corn crackers, which don't taste very oniony or chivey, but they do taste like the bastard child, I think.
They taste like tortilla chips.
They're like a cross between a tortilla chip and a Frito.
Oh, I could taste Fritos. You're right. It's a Frito.
Yeah, that's really salty. Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
All right. And then the second box of crackers, the one in the pale green there, I've had these. These are really good. What's the name of the company? David's or Dan's? Or?
Well, these are actually Trader Joe's. So these are the Trader Joe's, which they may be the same as the ones you've had. These are the Trader Joe's roasted gorgonzola.
Yeah, they're fantastic. Are they? They're little octagons or hexagons or something? Yeah, they're fantastic.
Have you guys been eating your big box of Bugles?
No, we're good. I think Cheryl has forbidden us from eating that. We haven't even gone through that. We'll have to do that on Monday. We're going to be giving that box of Bugles away, like the case of Bugles be gone to somebody.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, aren't these good?
Yeah, like
those
these.
Are fantastic.
Yeah.
Now, the thing is, you have to be careful with those gorgonzola crackers, though, because when Laura and I got them, and I think it was this same brand, because they're from Trader Joe's, which is where she kind of buys all that stuff, we started by putting cheese on them, but then it's just too much cheese. You got to be really careful about adding a thing to that cracker.
They, melt in your mouth when they're just, on your tongue.
They're buttery and delicious. So here I have the three different flavors of Triscuits. I have here first the cracked pepper and olive oil.
Ooh.
I have them.
I poured a couple of cups of these, so you can pour them down to that.
I have rosemary and olive oil, and I have garden herb. And garden herb are the most recent discovery of mine. They're all fantastic. I think if I had to pick a favorite, it's the cracked pepper and olive oil, but the garden herb, I mean, I want to knock those. They're all really good.
Ooh, cracked pepper and olive oil. I've never had that one.
So I'll just sort of...
It's a garden herb.
Now, Dawn, you should pick carefully for what you want your first Triscuit to be if you're stepping into a new world.
The pub cheese.
And if you haven't had pub cheese, I'm telling you,
ooh,
it's like a really thick Cool Whip that is cheese.
Oh. The guy who totally used to write in and hate me on the show when I would always be eating on the show, I bet he's loving this one.
Yeah.
Hey, buddy, this is for you. Oh, so good.
Which Triscuit are you having there?
This is garden herb. Oh, wow, that cheese is amazing.
That's what I'm saying.
Did you try this?
It comes in three different flavors.
Yeah, there's this, there's this with jalapeno, and there's this with horseradish. I've never had the horseradish one, but the jalapeno one is really good.
It
tastes like macaroni and cheese or something.
It tastes like the best fat you've ever had in your life.
Oh,
it's that
totally
pub cheese.
Worth being fat.
We went through two of those things of pub cheese, and I don't know what size that is. If it's like I don't know whatever size that. What size pub cheese thing is that? Like how much is that?
I don't know.
I don't know. It's like I don't know how they do that measurement.
Pint or something?
A pint, maybe.
Yeah.
But Laura got that, and
it's 8 ounces, but it's whipped, so there's a lot of it.
So she brought that home on a Friday. It was gone like about an hour later. The next day, there was a second one consumed, and that was when we decided we could no longer have it in the house because we ate. Mm-hmm. We were averaging a tub of pub cheese a day at our home, and that can't continue.
So, which flavor of Triscuit should I taste first?
I say for me, the cracked pepper and olive oil is good, and it's a neutral flavor in terms of the cheese, probably.
That is what I'm having right now, and it is a perfect combination with the short cheddar.
They're all good. Yeah, I think that one will go well with the cheese because it won't clash or anything.
Greg's refusing to eat the crackers.
No, I love the crackers. I love these. I can only eat so many crackers.
Are you watching your figure?
Yes, that's what it is.
Oh, this is good.
Isn't that fantastic? I realize, too late do I realize I brought no liquid into the studio, so now I'm like that guy in the Got Milk commercial where you're seeing everybody eating cake and there's no milk to be had.
Now I am trying it with the cheese.
Now, which comedy are you doing? The cracked pepper and the pub cheese? Isn't that fantastic?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Oh, that is
I think
really
we're getting a... hello, sir, madam, is the case maybe. You're on the Rick Emerson radio program.
Hey, Rick, this is Jesse outside of Bremerton. How are you all?
Hello, sir. Jesse from... Are you calling from Bremerton, or like literally there now, or are you just Jesse from Bremerton, but now you're in Portland?
No, I am actually in Seebeck, which is about 10 miles from Bremerton.
Okay.
That's not Bremerton.
I'm sorry. Sarah was dismissing you. Her ears perked up when you said Bremerton, but now she's...
I understand that, but, you know, most people don't care about anything west of Bremerton, so...
That's true.
Seebeck is a nice place. At least you're not engorsed.
although, Jimmy D's Steakhouse is very good to go to for their Sunday breakfast.
Amen to that. That is really delicious.
And it's, you walk in there, it's filthy, but the food is fantastic.
Here's the thing. I got to duck out to the kitchen to get a glass of water anyway, so why don't you have some Bremerton talk for a second while I step out.
Did you ever go to the drive-in?
Do you have Bremelo for a background music?
The one when you're when you keep heading down the highway. I have not been there yet. But I do want to go to the swap meet that's every Sunday.
Oh, I know. I've always wanted to go to that. I never made it. Well, are you new to Bremerton then?
Well, I moved up here about 6 to 8 months ago. My girlfriend lives here, who is now my fiance. Easier for me to move than her because she has a child and job. And,
How did you find a girlfriend in Bremerton? How did you two meet? How did this blessed union occur?
Oddly enough, on the MySpace.
On the MySpace?
Yes.
What did I miss?
Wow. He met his girlfriend on the MySpace.
Is she now? Is that
and
why
he relocated to Bremerton because he wanted to be closer to her?
Well, now fiance, not just girlfriend.
Wait, did
fiance.
So you moved to Bremerton or near Bremerton from Portland for a woman? She really must be something.
she actually is. So that's why I asked her to be my bride. Aww. And she said yes.
Well, it's like my brother James. God, and I hope they're not listening because I find myself saying these things and then
you're a good looking brother.
Yes, it comes out to bite me later because I find out they heard it. But it's I'm not saying his I'm not saying his wife is she's wonderful. I'm not saying there's anything bad with her per se. But it's the thing that because they're married now, he lives in Wenatchee. And not even in Wenatchee, like a little town on the outskirts of Wenatchee. I imagine like being in a little town on the outskirts of Bremerton. you know a thing or two about Wenatchee, don't you, sir?
Wenatchee banana.
That's what I'm saying. For the love of a woman, many a man has moved to a town that really should be visited by no one. So what is that? What brings
probably within about 3 years, we'll be back in Beaverton. So it's all good.
Reach for the stars.
Dare to dream. What brings you to the show today, sir?
Hey, you were talking about the Gorgonzola crackers.
Yes.
From time to time, if you go to Fred Meyer and go to the Hot Deli, they actually have Gorgonzola mashed potatoes.
Really?
Ooh. Oh, yes.
Now, is this like they've taken just like chunks of Gorgonzola and melted it in, or is it just like it's swirled throughout and it sort of permeates all of the... Describe them to me a little bit.
It's actually a little bit of both. There are little chunks of Gorgonzola cheese, but the entire thing is... It's almost more cheese than mashed potatoes, but it's fantastic.
Excellent. That is the American way to eat a potato, where you just sort of take whatever vague starchy nutritional value it might have, and you just counteract it with as many fattening toppings as is possible.
it's kind of like getting that thing they refer to as a taco salad.
I was just going to say, like a taco salad. Well done, sir.
And a gigantic deep-fried bowl that it comes in with lots of meat and cheese and like a piece of lettuce and a piece of tomato.
And I like that we're all on the same page here, that we understand. Here's the thing about that supermarket food, is that it's easy to sort of turn up your nose at, like, the food they sell at, like, Safeway or something, like in the deli section. But that's some of the finest eating. I'm not saying that it's, like, going to keep you alive forever. It isn't a health food or anything. But some of that deli food at the supermarket is... And Greg is nodding his head. You know what I'm talking about.
I just ate some Safeway chicken strips today.
Safeway Chinese food is the best thing known
to me. Was it the Safeway? Was it the regular strips or was it the spicy strips?
They were the regular ones. I don't think they have spicy ones, the one I went to. I wasn't aware of those.
We have spicy up here in Silverdale. Ooh.
So, well, la-di-da. Sorry.
The Fred Meyer Deli, I don't know if they still have this, but Fred Meyer Deli used to make a Gorgonzola chicken pasta salad that was penne pasta and chicken. It had grapes and some kind of nuts in it, and it was all in this Gorgonzola sauce. It was the most amazingly delicious thing, and it cost probably the equivalent of like $38 a pound, and you'd buy some tiny little thing of it, but God, it was good.
And sir, I call your bluff. There is no Fred Meyer in Silverdale.
No, actually, the Fred Meyer's in Bramerton is about 8 miles away on Highway 3 or Highway 16. I forget.
Highway 16.
Wow, you're just you're like the Sherlock Holmes of Bremerton. You're really just any inconsistency. Nothing gets by you.
Yeah, but the thing is, there's also, you know, I moved out of Newburgh, and there is Fred Meyer Newburgh along with Safeway as well. So, and there's
we've officially become just a bunch of old people sitting on a porch.
Well, if you go down Highway 22,
well, when did they get one of them Schwann stores? That's new.
Hey, you kids, get off my lawn!
Seriously. All right, thank you, my friend. Have a fantastic
Very
weekend.
Good.
All right, there you go. There's that guy. Greg and I. It's funny, we're all sharing a brain because you and here's the thing. You know who loves the Chinese food from Safeway? Kelly Clark.
Oh,
who's going to be on Fun Employment Radio today?
We have actually talked about it. I forgot about that. Oh my God, the General Tso's chicken with the
it is good
chow mein. Yeah. I got
like a little bit ill a couple of times just from the Safeway chicken though, and I don't think it was because it was like, you know, a hygiene issue. I think it was more just preservatives and too much sugar and fat or something, and my body just rebelled. So I just kind of reached this point where I was like, I am never eating Safeway Chinese food.
Oh, I love
again.
It. I get half General Tso's and delicious. Half orange chicken. Oh.
Yeah,
the best part is how you're talking about it. I'm never going to eat Safeway Chinese food again because it's as you're like over like around a mouthful of pub cheese and Triscuits.
I'm eating Triscuits.
Okay, I think our next eating episode, we should all get our favorite Safeway Chinese food.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Or just favorite. Well, because you know, Greg mentioned the chicken strips. Now, here's the thing. Here's the thing I've never really said. If I know I'm going to be home by myself and there's no one around and I will not be seen in my pit of shame, my go-to snack of choice, it's a triple, it's a three-for. It is the Triscuits and then some kind of cheese and then those chicken strips, which I will microwave. You know, to make them make sure they're sizzly, and then I will chop them up into little pieces, and then I create a whole, like a plate full of like the Triscuit with the cheese and the chicken, melt, and then they just go into my mouth.
That sounds amazing.
That sounds magical.
Wow.
Mine is the chicken strips from Safeway, and then I make stovetop stuffing. That is a magical combo.
Wow.
It's good.
Really good.
Kelly did a whole thing about, she was talking to us about Triscuit nachos, because the Willamette this week, they do the best and worst nachos in Portland.
I've made Triscuit nachos.
See, and that, so usually, okay.
All I've had is like shredded cheese and Triscuits in my apartment. I'm like, okay, what can I
throw it in the microwave? Yep.
Throw it in the microwave.
And it is good because they get kind of weirdly chewy.
Oh, well, and like the cheese goes into the cracks.
Yeah,
they become
like,
pliable. That's the thing. Okay, I won't ruin this, but you should ask her. Ask Kelly about Triscuit nachos.
Okay.
All right.
And she'll tell you a story about a discussion. Apparently, there was a little bit of an argument there at the Willamette about Triscuit nachos. So you should ask her about that.
All right. Done and done, sir.
All right. So what are we, Dawn, have you tried each of the...
I have had the garden herb, which was weirdly delicious.
Love those.
I don't even know what that flavor is, if it's garlic or what, but there's all kinds of things going on in my mouth. I haven't tried the rosemary one
yet. You should try one of those. The rosemary are good. It's a little sweet, but I like those.
I think the garden herb is too pungent for me. I really love the cracked pepper and olive oil.
The cracked pepper and olive oil is the one also you can eat the most of, and you can eat it with the widest variety of foods.
Mm-hmm. Now, do they still make the cheddar ones?
Maybe I'm thinking of something else.
Because those ones, I used to love those ones, but I haven't seen them for a long time. And I don't know if they still make them or
is it the Don? What's formaggio? Is that a cheese?
Yes, that is. That's Italian for cheese.
They have a cheese. They have a Triscuit, a formaggio Triscuit.
So they got rid of the cheddar.
They got rid of the cheddar.
Okay.
But I think they got rid of
the rosemary Triscuit.
They're good.
It's very good with the cheese. By the way, with the pub cheese. Have you eaten anything here?
No, I've eaten nothing. Why are you like making us all like gain weight over here? You gotta eat some.
Okay.
You haven't tried the
pub cheese.
Excellent.
Fantastic.
The weird corn.
And you want the garden herb?
I didn't want to be grabby. Yes, thank you.
Okay.
What was I going to say? Garden herb, cracked pepper. The cracked pepper, you can eat the most of those. The gardener ones, that you're right that they're very, like some of these flavored Triscuits are good, but there's so much flavor that you eat about five or six and you go, I'm done.
That was my thing with the rosemary. Like the rosemary is a little too overwhelming for me.
Oh, wow.
You know what's actually good with the garden herb? Tuna fish.
Mm.
Have you ever tried that? No, you take a can of tuna, you just drain it, like don't put anything in it, and then just eat the tuna fish on. That's pretty much how I went through college.
Oh, dude.
That's like, that was my lunch.
You and I have exactly the same diet.
It's good.
I have this whole thing when I'm unemployed. Whenever I'm unemployed, I get all this guilt where I start punishing myself by stripping away anything that's pleasurable and also anything that costs money. And so when I was unemployed that whole, like, from October through whatever, The fall and winter of last year of 2009, my meal, because Laura would be gone during the day, so I was left at home and so I could eat whatever I wanted. My meal was two cans of tuna into like a Tupperware sort of a thing, and I would stir it up, and then I would just have Triscuits, and I would just, yeah, I'm so sad and unemployed. I'm getting protein, though. And then I would be done. Because
really? I don't know. That just sounds really gross.
But the thing is, it's really good for you, though. That's the other thing. It's like, even with the Triscuits, you can, you know, because you're getting protein, and there's, you know, not much, you know. I mean, there's a little bit of mercury, but, you know, hey.
Yeah, when I was, when I went on a low-carb diet for a while, one of the things I discovered I really liked was the tuna melt sans bread, where I would just get, like, a plate and put the tuna on it, and then put the cheese on top of it, put it in the microwave. Heat it all up, and it was like, just eat it with a fork. And it was like, this is delicious.
See, I would do that, only put it over rice. Like, just plain rice.
The other thing I would do is I put a couple of cans. And the thing about tuna is it's also, it's good for you, and it's dirt cheap. I mean, if you get, like, the store brand, or the, you know, if you get it with water and not oil.
Yeah.
You dump it into, I would dump it into Tupperware, and then I would just crumple up something crunchy in it. Like, just crumple ramen noodles or something into it, just so it has a little bit of texture, has a little bit of snap. Because then it's like you're eating.
You are such a foodie.
I'm just saying.
You're a ghetto foodie.
But yeah, but like, I'm a dollar store foodie.
I've been informed via the text box, by the way, that the cheese Triscuit has been discontinued.
Oh, fail.
That's a bummer.
That was my favorite.
I got to hand this pub cheese back to you because I'm going to eat all of it otherwise. Sarah was just using a visual aid to demonstrate that we still have to do the shark story.
I just wanted to disturb you. It really is quite
disturbing. Well, tell us the shark
story. And then we should we'll get out of here so Greg and Sarah can do Fun Employment Radio.
All right, let's see.
Can't stop eating.
A fisherman catches a shark with a leg sticking out of its mouth.
Oh.
A boater who disappeared off Jaws Beach is probably the person whose remains were found inside the belly of a shark. Authorities used fingerprints to identify Judson Newton. It's unclear if Newton was alive when he was eaten. He went on a boating trip with friends off of Jaws Beach on New Providence Island on August 29th and encountered engine trouble.
Wait, did they say they used fingerprints to identify him?
They call it Jaws Beach?
Yeah, they used fingerprints. They said it's Jaws Beach on the island where one of the Jaws movies was filmed.
Oh, so it's like near Martha's Vineyard or something, probably?
Yeah, it says it's Nassau in the Bahamas.
Oh, then no, that would have been Jaws the Revenge with Michael Caine.
Of course it was.
Sorry.
So it says rescuers who responded to a call for help found three men aboard who said that Newton and a friend jumped into the water to try and swim back to shore. Officials launched a search for them, but neither of them were found. On September 4th, a local investment banker caught the 12-foot tiger shark while on a deep-sea fishing trip, and he said as he was pulling in the shark, a left leg popped out of his mouth.
Oh, God. That is just wrong. I mean, and, you know, the sharks...
I'm, surprise!
I mean, that's got to freak you out, though, because...
That's got to freak you out. A human leg just popping out of something?
I mean, especially that's because it really does bring into stark relief the idea that you're hauling aboard something that wants to kill you and eat you. I mean, and not even really kill you. I mean, it'll happily eat you while you're alive.
Oh, yeah.
Do you have the actual...
I have pictures.
No, not with the leg, not with the leg. Is it with the leg?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, show it.
All right.
Right there.
Oh, no.
Wow.
Hold on, let me...
Wow.
Oh, wow. That's disturbing.
Oh, that is messed up.
Oh, that is so freaky.
Oh, that is messed up.
I was wondering about fingerprints, but nope. There's his arm.
You have to post those to the Facebook.
Oh, my God. When officers with the Defense Force cut the shark open, they found the right leg as well as the left leg, two severed arms, and a severed torso.
All right.
Wow.
It turns like, yeah, you have to put that up.
Okay.
Because you know what?
That is wrong.
Because we have this whole thing on Friday. We've started this, I don't know, this de facto tradition of ending Friday by posting something really disturbing. Last week or 2 weeks ago.
Done, sir.
Have you guys seen the photo of the shark? There's a guy like in a kayak and he's kayaking to shore and there's a shark gliding behind him in the ocean.
No, is it on your Facebook page?
It is on my Facebook page from a couple weeks ago. I've turned into James Gum. Wait a minute. We're grabbing rammers.
She's about a size 14.
Now, for the love of Christ. All right. We posted this on Facebook. It was a few weeks ago. It's a picture of a guy. He's kayaking along, and it's a real photo because there was a whole article about it in National Geographic. He's kayaking along, and then in the inlet or whatever behind him, you see a shark trailing along, and he's sort
wow.
You see it? Yeah.
It's like twice the size he is.
Yeah. It's a real photo, and that's like when you see a vulture following a guy in the desert, thinking eventually he's going to fall out of that kayak. Yeah. How creepy is that?
Wow.
And then it was actually just 2 weeks before we posted that photo, Dawn, that you remember we put a picture of the most horrifying sea creature
ever.
Oh,
yeah, that's
ever.
Right.
And you may or may not even want to see this.
I kind of
want to see it.
Okay. It's a real thing. I didn't even remember what it was called. It would have been a few weeks back. I think it would have been called... It either would have said, like, visual aid, or would have said, like, nature hates you, or don't look at this.
By the way, if you go to the Rick Emerson Show Facebook now, you will see it says, Fisherman hooks tiger shark, sees human leg poking out, pics, extremely graphic. And take that to heart before you click on it. Extremely graphic.
And that's facebook.com/Rick Emerson Show. It's right. The Rick Emerson Show page as opposed to the Rick Emerson Facebook page.
Where's the sea creature? I'm trying to find it.
It
was a while ago.
Yeah, I can. Let's see. I never really use the search function of my own Facebook page here. That really is how we have to sort of end this, because we can't not show that one. It's another one of those things that you think can't be real, and then you discover, much to your horror, it is real. It was this. I forget what they even called it. Don, do you remember the name of the actual thing?
Is it like
thing?
A squiddy kind of thing?
Because it wasn't one of those isopods. It was something else.
No, that is what it was.
Oh, was it?
It was the but in a way that was just so unbelievably horrible. Let's see here. I'm scrolling through.
You have the weirdest stuff on your page.
I was just looking through.
I'm seeing a faceless man who stole Don's innocence, and there's a clown.
By the way, that's
from a while ago, though.
That man who stole my innocence,
am I too far back?
He now lives in Bremerton.
Really?
Oh, yes. Well,
we're Facebook friends.
That's where everybody good ends up.
Well, he was in the Coast Guard, so I believe that's how he ended up in Bremerton.
Now, does he work for the shipyard?
I don't know what he does.
I'm just scrolling past the, you know... I'm scrolling past the auto-tune guys talking about how they're raping everybody.
Oh,
it's like counting the rings in a tree.
I'm not finding it. Okay, now we have people just listening to us scroll on our laptops while we look through our own
Facebook
page.
They're also listening to us eat, Don. Let's not forget that.
This is almost like the show that we did when Greg shaved his beard.
Yes, we did.
Wait, when was
live,
that?
Live long shaving of the beard.
It was a few months ago. It was the best thing.
was it
totally a tenure.
The listeners decided what type of beard I would shave.
Was it just as great as it sounds like
Absolutely,
it would be?
Absolutely, yes.
Cheryl also wants you to show everyone the eye worm.
No, I'm not going to do that.
Okay.
Hey, by the way, I hate to make it sound like iWorm triggered this thought in my brain, because it really didn't. Morgan Grace is going to be on Outlook Portland this week, so I should mention
awesome.
That. I was just scrolled past a picture of her, actually, reminding me that we filmed an episode of Outlook Portland with Morgan Grace about a week ago. That's going to be on this Sunday's episode of Outlook Portland. Portland musician Morgan Grace. Have you seen her new video by chance?
I haven't.
She did the greatest thing for a video where she... She wrote a song. She's like a big Twilight fan, because she said she had a horrible breakup. And then the same week she had a horrible breakup, somebody gave her the first Twilight book, and she said she was like in exactly like the emotionally vulnerable place to read Twilight. She was like, I want a man like Edward with butterscotch eyes. And so she wrote...
Butterscotch eyes. Oh, my God. I've never heard that in a while.
Skin.
So she wrote this song called Vampire Love or something. And it's a legitimately like kind of sweet, great song.
Well, she's an amazing songwriter.
And then they did this video, which is a video that like shot-for-shot remakes of some of the scenes from Twilight in the same locations, wearing the same costumes, down to like getting a deer for one scene. It's unbelievable. You can see it at morgangracemusic.com, and she's going to talk about the making of the video and just what it's like to be a musician at this point in Portland, and it's just it's great. So Morgan Grace is going to be on this Sunday's Outlook Portland on the CW cable channel 3, or you can find it at outlookportland.com. Here's the thing. Now I'm just going to have to send this to you later. I have to find a horrible sea creature and send it to you, because it's just... And I'm surprised that somebody hasn't inflicted it on us by just like popping it up in the text box or something. But I will find it. I'll send it to you, because you will never sleep again.
Does it have tentacles?
I don't want to give anything about it away.
All right.
I think I almost just want to let you...
If I Google like horrific sea creature, do you think I could find it? Oh, I don't actually want to do that.
See, you're going to find lots of things then.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen the ones after the tsunami in Indonesia? There was all those random sea creatures that washed up on the shores. Oh, yeah. I remember when it happened. There's a photo album of all of them.
Really?
Just bizarre deep sea creatures that washed up.
See, that's especially weird because that's those things that you think, by definition, they shouldn't be on the surface. They're not meant to be of this world.
Exactly. There's...
What did you...
I just Googled horrific sea creatures.
Well, that's like the what do they call those ones?
Oh, look at it. It has a tongue and teeth and beady eyes.
Those ones glow in the dark.
Oh, wait, I think...
They have the orb.
I think I found...
Oh, did you find it?
Okay, hold on. Don't just...
Is it worse than the eel fingertips, Rick? Is it worse than the eel fingertips?
Well, the eel fingertips is not... I mean, that's...
I will never see that again. That is the most disturbing thing I have ever seen.
That's bad, but the thing about that is... Oh, God, I'm actually doing that thing where I'm holding up my hand to keep the image from appearing. I want to make sure that I find exactly the same photograph that I showed Dawn, though, because I think you actually said that you kept... Dawn said something like, I shut my eyes and I still see it. So I want to make sure that I'm not suffering that same fate. The thing about the fingertip eels, though,
I can't even think about it. Have you seen that?
I mean, at least I found out it wasn't real. No. That's
but
the
it's
thing.
Still, but that image is seared in my brain. I could never unsee it. You have to find that so that Greg and Dawn have to see it, too.
I don't want to go looking for it, though.
I can't look for it. I can't see it.
Somebody, we were talking about sea creatures went in. Somebody like was like, here, look at this, and sent a link, and I made the mistake of clicking on it. And it was whatever porn? Those things are that they're like the parasites that live on fishes' tongues. And they actually eat the fish's tongue and then take the place of the fish's tongue and live in its mouth. And so they have these fish that are opening their, and there's this thing living in their mouth. And I was like, that's the most horrible thing I've ever seen. Why would you show me this? And Rick's going, oh, they'll show you things all the time.
Oh, yeah. No,
they will always show you things.
And the thing is, you will see things you want to unsee immediately.
And the audience will find the subject line that will get you to open the email. I mean, they'll figure out exactly what sort of things you really do want to see. And then they will make sure, to send you something, where it used to be like, Britney Spears naked or whatever. And then I would open it, and it would just, and then it's a picture of like a guy with a pencil sticking out of his eye or something. At least Cheryl does us the favor of actually sending subject lines that say, like, this is a worm in a woman's eye.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
And then Rick emails later and goes, did you look at it? I'm like, no, I didn't look at it. She said it was a worm in a person's eye.
I used to be, sensible enough not to open those things, but that time is apparently past. All right, I'm going to try one more keyword here, and then I'm giving up because I think God doesn't want me to see this
again.
Yeah,
now the text box is like, and people are going, I'm seeing these links that are things like tongue-eating parasite and something else. It's like viper fish. I'm like, no, I'm not looking at any of those things, people.
Has
I'm
there
not.
Ever been a horror movie with a human who has like some kind of like weird parasite tongue? That'd be kind of freaky, like somebody opens their mouth and like it's a giant cockroach or something.
All right, then.
Greg looks like he wants to cry.
No, I'm trying to think of it. Has there ever been one?
All right. We're going to...
Sounds like something from Hellraiser.
we have to let them do
this. We bring the curtain down to this whole thing here.
Oh, I didn't even realize how late it was.
Seriously, I was just...
Kelly Clark's almost here.
Good God almighty. Yeah,
and somebody pops up to say, oh, by the way, human centipede's being made into porn. Like, well, of course it is.
All right.
Of course it is. And of course our listeners know this.
I never want to see that.
I downloaded it. A friend of mine downloaded it, and it's just sitting there. It's just sitting there because I realized, like, I don't want to see it.
No.
It's actually, once you get past the premise, it's actually kind of boring.
Really?
The guy who plays the mad scientist is really good. But once you go, ooh, the premise, and then the movie itself, it's like, and now what? I had nothing. That's it. It's just all premise and no movie.
So it's just people sewn connected to their holes,
right? I've captured you. Ha ha. I'm going to do this horrible thing. Ha ha. I've done this horrible thing. Ha ha. You're watching it going, oh, that's gross.
The best part is when the guy said he was making a trilogy.
Yeah.
And like the next one has 6 people. Then the next one has 12.
Oh, my God. That's so edgy.
So if you see an email that could show up later that just says creepy sea creature, it's not secretly pictures of a hot girl. It's a horrible sea creature.
Okay.
Just FYI. All right. Sarah Extel and Greg Nibbler, funemploymentradio.com, and today they'll have Kelly Clark on. That'll be posted up later on today. We want to thank Dan Clark, who was here to talk about Pirate Fest 2010, 5th Annual Pirate Festival. Find out more about that at Pirate Festival, portlandpiratefestival.com.
I forgot about the super secret surprise Trader Joe's thing I brought.
Well, you'll have to wait till Monday. All right.
Well, no, it will not exist on Monday.
Really? Is it going to be in someone's belly?
Oh, it's going to be in my belly.
All right. On that note, thank you for listening. Funemploymentradio.com. Check it out later this afternoon for today's episode. We want to thank, again, Dan Clark from Pirate Festival 2010. It's Portland Pirate Festival. Pardon me. Ugh. Well, Triscuit came back on me there.
Pirate Festival?
I have not. I keep meaning to go, and then I haven't.
It's magical. It's under the St. John's Bridge. There's not a better place that it could be. It feels surreal when you go to it. And you can drink grog.
And this year they're trying to break the World Series the Guinness Book record for having the most people and the most pirates in one place.
Cool. But now it has to be like 7,000. Last year it was like 1,600, but then it's been beaten three times since then. So now it's going to be like 7,000.
At the news desk, it's Don Taylor. Advanced technology and magic provided by Thomas Gill. Executive producer Bruce Agler. Chief of staff Cheryl Kanakoa. The Rick Emerson Show made possible by a generous grant from you. It is Friday, September 17th, 2010, and that is the Frequency, Kenneth. Encore presentations happening in just a few moments. After that, it'll be playing throughout the weekend along with some other stuff. Thank you for listening. Be safe. Have a great weekend. See you Monday. Bye now.
Attention broadcasters in the greater Portland area. Your daily show prep is now concluded. Thanks for listening.